ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Yeah! Woo! Welcome to Thursday!
Little light conversation to kick your morning off strong.
Who's ready for the Avengers?
I know I am. I'm gonna post that trailer.
Oh, man.
Doug, did you watch that yet?
Come on! Marvel, now here's the thing. I found this interesting.
Yeah.
Marvel said, hey, world premiere of the trailer's coming next Tuesday, right after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then all of a sudden it was leaked.
You know
what?
And
then it was taken down, and then it was leaked, and then it was taken down, and then they were like, screw it. We're just, here it is.
Yeah.
Look, here it is, in full HD. Stop watching it in crappy, you know, ripped off version.
I did notice this. I noticed that when it said that on S.H.I.E.L.D., it said the world broadcast premiere. And so I wonder
if this was
an intentional
part of
leak.
The plan.
Because I saw an article and it was like Hydra leaks trailer. So who knows what happened.
Yeah, I got a buddy of mine in New York sent me this website and he was like, hurry, watch it fast.
Yeah.
And then by the time I got there, it was pulled.
Yep.
And
same thing happened to me yesterday. James from Nashville.
And then he was like, try this one. But
Yep. Same thing.
Boom.
Same.
Yeah.
It's posted.
Samesies.
It's posted.
Samesies, go watch it.
On our Facebook, you can check it out.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Oh, it's true. What is going on? Our phone lines are crazy right
What's
now.
What's up?
Static.
Hey, guys. It is Matthew from Albuquerque.
No.
I don't believe it.
Yes, it is, guys.
Nah. Is this the real Matthew?
Oh, yes, it is. And you know what? Right now, I got Judy, the bus driver.
The
Judy!
Hey, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
That's how we know it's
real. It says good morning. Well, guys, anyways, how's your day going?
Well, it started like 3 minutes ago, so.
Guys? I don't know what's going on with line one for the station, but you guys have two numbers, I guess, the 338-3700 and 338-3701.
Yeah.
I called line one, nothing. It rings, just keeps ringing continuously. That line doesn't pick up, but this one picks up.
Weird.
That's weird.
Yeah,
man.
I don't know what's going on, but,
that's weird.
At least I got through with this line.
Mm-hmm. At least you did.
And it's like, who remembers the second line number?
Matthew from Albuquerque.
I've been listening for like, let's see, it's been a year now, and it'll be 2 years in May.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know what, guys? It's kind of nice. On my birthday, not only am I celebrating my birthday, but I'm celebrating my call-in anniversary to this station.
Wow. When's your birthday?
May 14th, guys. May 14th. For all you fans up there and all you listeners that don't know my birthday, and May 14th.
You have a fan base. I don't even know why we do the morning show. We should just let Matthew do it.
Matthew, do you want to just start doing a four-hour show?
I wish, guys. I have school.
Oh.
You have school? Okay.
That was the one and only time was offered.
School is cool.
You know what? I tell you this. Once I graduate, guys, it's just 2 years away. You know what I'll have to do in these days? After I've graduated, come in to the station, go on air with y'all.
Booyah.
That
would
sounds
be really
crazy,
neat.
Buddy.
Go on air with
that,
you guys.
Literally crazy.
Sounds.
Yeah, cause we've already met in person at my high school. That was an awesome day.
That was an awesome day.
Yes, we had a good day that day.
Yeah, I was a little freaked out. I'm not gonna lie, because it's not every day you meet cartoon characters. You know, it was like, hey, he's a real person.
Yeah,
Cartman's
so, hey,
got
guys,
nothing on this.
Here's a brief little update about my website, the one I have, the new one.
Yeah,
I've been updating the homepage. The homepage is under construction, but it's actually online instead of the rest of the website. So actually, guys, I need a favor. All the fans and listeners out there, I am doing a survey. It is to help me with my DECA regional competition.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, all this survey does is it helps me decide which type of advertisement I'm going to do for this business. This stuff is all confidential. All results are not released to anyone. Only I have access to the survey results.
Does that stand for Disassembled Evangelical Christian Association?
No, guys.
I feel like that's what it is.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
I'm listening to my heart right now, and my heart says that that's what it is.
Yeah.
No, guys. But hey, so for the fans and people out there who want to take the survey, you can go to my website, guys, math, M-A-T-T dot R-T-66 wix.com/MattFromABQ. Actually, it's MattRT66. There's no dot in it. So just MattRT66.wix.com/MattFromABQ.
Boring.
The DECA Regional Student Competition Survey. It's the very last site, very last, what's called, link on there, under the menu.
Yeah.
And it's going to direct you directly to the survey. The survey, guys, is going to close at the end of December.
No!
This competition is January 6th.
It's fierce!
I am going to throw up right now.
The competition is so fierce.
What's up, guys? What's wrong with you?
No, I'm just waking up, man.
Waking up. It's a lot of information to process at the very beginning of the morning.
All right, what can we play for you, man? We gotta get going.
Okay, so let's see. This morning, guys, you know, for Tori, one of our leaders of Recovered, I wish, like, Reliant K, if you guys please play Devastation and Reform for Reliant K. It's going out to Tori, one of our leaders in Converge.
Okay.
So good morning, Tori. Have a wonderful day.
Good morning, Tori!
Good morning, Tori. Thanks, Matthew from Albuquerque. There you go,
Tori,
Devastation.
Tori, you know the story.
What?
I'm trying to write a song for her right now.
Sorry if that was Bori.
Bori.
This one goes out.
Let's get praise and a Dory.
Okay. It's Thursday. Jarrett's out of town, I guess, or away or something. So Theology Thursday today with Pastor Brian Nixon. We're excited. We got Clay Schroff coming in. Right around the corner, breaking news and birthdays.
Oh, yeah.
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Can drive a stick and it's taking me down this road, a road down which I swore I'd never go. And here I sit, thinking of God knows what.
Who's ready for some more Team Awesome Morning Party?
Anyone?
Anyone? Anyone?
Come on, don't be shy.
Well, tough, we're giving you more anyway.
Bingo, man, bingo!
Static Radio.
Turn on the news!
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. It is very dark outside because we're in Albuquerque and it's fall, basically.
Truth.
That's okay. Today's October 23rd. Halloween approaches. It approaches. It's time for breaking news. Today is the number for today is 600. Guess what it is.
The number of times I've watched the new Avengers trailer.
Yes. Cows needed to make one full season's worth of NFL football.
Whoa!
Football! That's a lot of cows, man. 600 cows. Yep. 600 cows.
Gosh.
It's a lot of cows.
Yeah.
Dr. Oz once touted green coffee bean extract as a miracle weight loss supplement, but now the science behind the study has been completely discredited. Sorry. Sorry, everyone.
Such a wizard after all, are you, Oz?
Yeah. Huh? Who's the man behind your curtain, jerk?
Yeah, what?
Think about it. ISIS claims that it's got one of the arms packages the U.S. was trying to send the Kurds.
Oh, good. That's a big deal, like the Kurds in the way.
No.
And it's like, what are we going to do?
I think you're thinking of a different kind of
the
Kurd.
Tough it.
It's a different. Like, that's a different kind of Kurd. I think
the ISIS is the spider that sat down beside her.
Oh man!
And it was like,
we are in this, aren't we?
I'm just saying, man.
We are just in this.
It's deep.
The leader of a Mexican drug cartel made his first appearance in court this week after he was picked up by U.S. authorities when he made a shopping trip to Texas, despite outstanding arrest warrants.
Ooh.
Those outstanding arrest warrants will get you.
Every time.
The Mormons are using the internet to officially explain to outsiders for the first time the secret of their holy underwear. And I'm not speaking about old underwear.
Yeah.
With holes in it.
Right.
I'm talking about, like, holy underwear.
Holy underwear, Batman.
Like the kind that you wear to church.
Okay, yeah.
Or whatever their secret meetings are.
Yeah.
Celestial marriage.
Maybe we could talk about that on Theology Thursday.
That could be fun. Yeah, there's a huge video out. I saw it last night. Or I didn't see the video. I saw the link to the video. And I was like, I'm going to have to watch that because I need to know what's up. In response to an online petition, Toys R Us has removed its Breaking Bad action figures.
Yeah.
Yep. We saw those the other day.
We did. They removed them from shelves and Bryan Cranston tweeted something in response.
What'd he say?
He's very offended. He wanted to go boycott, I think it was the plumber. I can't remember.
The plumber?
Yeah, the plumber action figure. He wanted to go. No, it was the stay-at-home mom. That was it. That's exactly what it was. He, in response, is banning a stay-at-home mom action figure. Yeah.
The government announced that next year there will be an increase in seniors' monthly Social Security checks.
Mmm.
That's good news for you, buddy.
You know, if nothing else works out, man, I always got that Social Security check to fall back on.
We should call Buck and Dex right now and tell Buck. Be like, Buck, we just read the best news.
We have such good news for you, man.
He would be so mad. Wouldn't he? He'd be like, what do you do? Why am I old? When did I get old? Why do you think I'm old? I'll say, Baxter told me you were the old guy. The FBI says that three Denver area teenage girls tried to join ISIS. They ran away from home to join ISIS, which is every teenager's dream here in this U.S. and day.
I can't.
Nobody knows what they're doing anymore.
Yeah.
Including myself. What did I do this morning? I did something so stupid this morning. I can't remember. It's like you get up and you're in daily routine.
Right.
It was something just like, what am I doing? And I kind of woke up, you know?
I woke up late today.
I can't remember what it was. Yeah. Well, we were here last night.
Long night.
Yeah, long night. Long night. Have you seen that x-ray of the man in China with a bottle up his hoo-ha?
Oh, no.
That's what it says in the news.
Really?
Today. I'm going to read that. You know I'm going to read that. It says hoo-ha. You can't miss out on an opportunity. Hoo-ha. Hoo-ha.
Reminds me of Al Pacino for some reason.
Reminds me of the Marines. Wait. That's not
That's
right.
Hoorah.
Oh, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has once again changed the number of cars included in a massive and urgent recall over an inflator defect, in airbags made by the Japanese company Takata. Initially, 4.7 million vehicles were recalled, but in a list released on Wednesday, the NHTSA added 3.1 million additional vehicles, bringing the grand total up to 7.8 million vehicles. Saturn don't quit. I know that. Gracie the Saturn.
Booyah.
She refuses to die. I've tried many things.
Yeah.
I have tried no oil. I have tried letting the coolant run out. I have tried slashing my own tires and
coming outside
and seeing that somehow they have been magically reinflated.
That's good. It's a Saturn. That's what they do.
It is disconcerting to know that your car can kill you.
It's self-aware.
And it's self-aware.
You know what I say about these airbags?
What's that?
Hakuna Takata.
Oh, man. He made a topical joke about a Japanese automotive. Did you hear that, Doug?
Because it's Takata.
Hashtag Hakuna Matata, man. Hashtag under the sea. Hashtag let it go. I get it. Do you have a child that is addicted to playing video games?
I am that child.
If you're worried about their future, or maybe even your own, there is a college scholarship program for video gamers.
Yes!
That's right. Huffington Post did a story on Youngmin Chung, a young man from the San Francisco area who spent an average of 10 hours a day alone in his room playing video games. Chung's grades were scraping the bottom of the barrel and his parents were beside themselves. However, skip ahead a few years. Now, at the age of 20, Chung is attending Robert Morris University, a small private college in Chicago, where he is studying computer networking. He is one of 35 other students at this university that are attending on a $15,000 per year athletic scholarship for playing League of Legends, the very video game that threatened his high school graduation. The $15,000 scholarship covers up to half off of tuition and half off of room and board. Robert Morris University is the first in the United States to offer a scholarship program for video gamers, and it's under the athletic program as esports.
Gosh.
In professional leagues, players compete for millions of dollars in prizes and pull in six-figure incomes for vanquishing their enemies in what have become spectator events packing tens of thousands of sports. What?
My mom pushed me in the wrong direction. I'm so mad right now.
Of sports spectators into stadiums around the world. People go watch people play video games.
I was at the World Cyber Games in Seattle, Washington. It's like the Olympics of the world. Yeah.
Let me ask you guys something.
Huge.
Have you ever had a couple of weeks where by the end of that couple of weeks, and I'm sorry if this is offensive, but at the end of the week, you're just kind of like, Lord, it seems like a great time to just take me on out. Don't you think? Are you there? Anybody? I'll leave a message. Just transfer me to voicemail, please.
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yeah.
And now I'm learning that I could be a video game person and make a six-figure income. I'm going to leave another message later today.
Yeah.
Purple Heart Medal, posthumously awarded to a New York soldier killed in Vietnam, is being returned to his family about 2 decades after it was found on a school playground. Purple Hearts Reunited says PFC Thomas McGraw's medal will be presented to his widow and daughter November 4th during a ceremony in Manlius, New York. McGraw was killed in an ambush in February 1966 while serving with the Army's 1st Cavalry Division. The Purple Heart disappeared, turned up in the early 90s when a student found it outside a suburban Syracuse elementary school.
Whoa.
In January, the mother of the boy who found the medal contacted Purple Hearts Reunited, which tracked down McGraw's wife and their daughter. That's cool.
That's almost 50 years old.
I know. That's crazy. I wonder how it got from there to the playground.
Man.
Weird. Pretty cool, though. Here's something that's kind of crazy. A singing nun who won the Italian version of The Voice has released a cover of Madonna's Like a Virgin for her debut single. 26-year-old sister Christina Scusia says she chose the song herself and has no desire to provoke or scandalize. Sister says the song is about the ability to love, to ability of love to make people new.
Wow.
To redeem them from their past. And that's how I want to interpret it. She's doing what Static does. Her video has picked up over 1 million views on YouTube.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Nicely done, Miss Nun. Nicely Nun. Okay. Dicely Nun. Dicely Nun. See what I did?
I do.
Cool. Oh, man. Do we have the theme song from The Notebook?
What?
Yeah. Do you have...
What was the theme song?
I can't remember. Play Heart Will Go On. Give me some Celine this morning.
Uh-oh. That's serious business.
Hope you guys got your tissues. Doug, tissue box, ready?
Here we go.
Helen and Joe Auer's love was so strong, not even the finality of death could keep them apart. On October 15th, this year, Helen passed away peacefully in her Cincinnati home at the age of 94. It was Joe, her husband of 73 years, who found her.
Oh.
He walked up to his departed wife, gave her a quick kiss, and told her, "Helen, call me home." Less than 2 days later, that call came. At the age of 100, Joe passed away a short 28 hours after his wife of 73 years, Helen, had passed away. But the couple's family says those were some of the longest hours of his life. In their 73 years together, their relationship outlasted the Depression, World War II, in which Joe had spent 3 years fighting. During Joe's deployment, Helen welcomed the pair's second child. She sent her husband a photo of herself with their 2 kids. Joe carried the photo through the war, and he continued to keep the worn picture in his wallet until the day he died. The couple welcomed 10 kids into this glorious world of ours. And over their long lives together, and they are survived by 9 of those children, along with 16 grandchildren, 29 great-grandchildren, and 1 great-great-grandchild.
That's awesome.
Now that is a love story.
Yeah, dude.
73 years.
Really,
they
really
couldn't
great.
Spend any time apart. 28 hours.
Yeah.
Man.
That's, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that is good.
That's good. Whew. That's okay. That's all right.
No,
we're fine.
Good.
Nobody's
we're
crying. Nobody does that here. We're okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Where do birds go in the winter, Doug? Any ideas?
South.
What did he say? He said die. They die. Is that what he said? Okay. South, of course. But centuries ago, there were all kinds of theories. Nobody knew where birds went. One of the more bizarre was that of English minister and scientist Charles Morton, who in the 17th century wrote a surprisingly well-reasoned paper claiming that birds migrated to the moon and back every year. And Morton was even aware of how epic the journey would be. He estimated the one-way trip to be 179,712 miles. And he wasn't so far off, because the moon varies between 226,000 and 252,000 miles away.
Wow.
So he is relatively close.
Right.
And reckoned it would take the birds 60 days to reach our satellite, flying at 125 miles an hour. Unfortunately for him, we know now that they just go south.
Right.
Because if a bird could break our atmosphere and break gravity, that would be freaking awesome. I think that would be awesome.
I agree.
All right, hang on. Let me see if there's any funny littles, funny littles, funny littles. Oh, here's something. A 500-pound man who was... It's not a funny little, though. A 500-pound man who was too large to fit in the back of a Florida sheriff's deputy's patrol car resisted arrest by sitting down and challenging the deputies to move him.
Okay.
Deputies dragged Howard Hendry to the police car, but added that he was too large to put in the patrol vehicle. He was eventually transported to jail. It's not known how that happened.
Gosh.
I guess that's one way to get out of it.
That's crazy.
And here's the question. Who are they calling pig in that situation? Let's look at traffic. I felt like Paul Harvey when I did that. It felt awesome. There's nothing to see here as far as traffic goes. We got construction, I-25 in Paseo, I-25 Frontage Road North between Osuna, San Mateo, and Ellison. We've got an on-ramp close at I-25 in Jefferson, and we've got construction Rio Bravo Boulevard at Isleta Boulevard Southwest. That is your look at traffic, because now it's time for birthdays with our friend Doug.
Oh, yeah! Good morning, Doug.
Hello.
Doug, did you like my joke?
I did.
Thanks, man.
It's pretty good.
It was good. I give it a 6 out of 10.
Thanks,
oh,
buddy.
Oh, man.
I got a 3 the other day, yeah. So I'm feeling real good.
You're just, as the week goes on, you keep getting better, man.
Thanks, Doug.
You're like a fine wine.
Yeah, baby.
Today, October the 23rd, 2014, day 296. There are 69 days remaining. Ha, ha, ha.
First Bill up, and Ted!
First up this morning, he is widely regarded to be the best football player.
8 out of 10, Doug.
Thank
every
you.
Time.
Thank you. Football with a U player.
Johnny
ever.
Unitas.
No, the other football.
Johnny football.
Football with a U.
Johnny yeah. Manziel.
He is hailed as a national treasure of Brazil.
Nicolas Cage.
Pele.
Yes.
Pele.
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 Pele. He's in like tons of commercials while he was during the World Cup. It's like, dude, it's Pele.
Seventy-four
is correct.
I did not cheat. I did not cheat. We went in there and watched the Age
That's
of Ultron trailer.
Crazy.
I saw the name, but I blocked
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, it just was on his
that
Wikipedia
That was crazy.
Page.
Nicely yeah. done. Nicely
Thanks,
done.
Guys. I hope I have a day like you had yesterday.
It could happen.
Man, you got 5 right
yeah,
yesterday.
That was like
it
record.
Made up for the day where you got like 18 one off.
Yeah.
Next up, an American singer-songwriter.
I know this.
Actor and film director.
Dwight Yoakam.
Yes.
We did his cousin's birthday yesterday, or
yeah.
day before yesterday.
Tom Petty.
All right, Dwight Yoakam.
My mom loved Dwight Yoakam.
Wasn't
dude.
He married to Julia Roberts for a minute?
What? No, that was Lyle Lovett. Was Dwight Yoakam too?
He was married to somebody. I can't look it up right now.
I got you.
Dwight.
Wedding Crashers.
What? He was in Wedding Crashers?
What yep. was he in Wedding Crashers?
The very, very beginning of the movie when they're doing the, they're trying to, like, sort out the, like, their stuff they have from their divorce. And they're, like, arguing with each other. But
oh, yeah! Is that Dwight Yoakam?
Yep.
He's been in a bunch of movies,
man. He was in this terrible movie called, The New Guy. He played that dude's dad. It's that kid from Road Trip, that nerdy kid.
Okay.
He got his own movie right after that, you know, because everybody was like, ugh.
Right.
And then after the movie came out, they were like, what do we do? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Dwight Yoakam has never been married.
Okay.
Okay.
It's Lyle Lovett then. That's who
it
I was
thinking. Lyle Lovett.
Okay. Dwight Yoakam is 49.
55.
He is 58. Next up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's your boy.
Yeah, it's me. Al, is Weird Al's birthday?
It is Weird Al's birthday.
Wow.
Do you have all about nerdy. The Pentiums? Is it there?
It.
Man, do you remember that song,
yeah,
All About
yeah.
the Pentiums? I loved that.
Was that? Oh, well, that was the P. Diddy one, but
yeah,
I can't remember the video.
Oh, it was awesome.
Was that when he was dressed in white?
It looked like the rap video that P. Diddy and Mace made. You know, so it's like
Drew Carey was in it.
Reflective tape everywhere, and
gosh,
it looked like. Just a and fisheye lens, you know, and it's like, look at my computer keyboard. I'm a nerd.
I love Weird Al.
Me too. Oh, is this it, Doug? Did you do it, Doug? It's all about the Pentagons,
baby. Okay.
He's so stupid.
I know. Why couldn't we have done this?
We could.
We could do this in a heartbeat.
Listen to these words. Listen to this lyrical genius. What you wanna do? Wanna be hackers, code crackers, slackers, wasting time with all the chat room yackers, 9 to 5 chilling at Packers.
Man,
dude, when the guys get back from their nerd conference, we need to play this song and walk up in there and be like, what's up, guys? Can we fit in with y'all? Computers! Computers!
Did you ever see UHF?
Yeah, no. I know. Did you know he had a song in the original Transformers movie? Animated one that came out in 1986? Yes, I know that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was
Dare to
Be Stupid.
Dare to be stupid.
Yep.
Dude is the big 5-0.
Nice, Doug.
He's older than that.
He's 55.
He is 55 years old.
Yes!
Two,
baby!
Oh, I messed up mine.
That song got him in so much trouble.
Yeah, it did.
Coolio was so mad.
I think he was mostly mad because the song was better than his.
No. Oh.
Agree.
All right, and the last birthday this morning.
That's a short birthday day.
Yeah.
Oh! Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
Boom.
Thank you.
Whoa.
Thank you.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
Yes. How did we do that? How did
Van
that
Wilder.
Happen?
Van Wilder. That's
Van
what it is.
Van Wilder.
Yes, Doug. Yes.
Two guys, a girl, Ryan. And a pizza place.
Yeah. Me and this back guy and right now. Yeah. What? You need to get in
that
on
was,
this.
No, that was good.
Come in here and explore the space.
Two guys, a girl. I remember that.
You're the girl. Get in here. Yep. Come on. Nope. And this is our pizza place. What toppings would you like?
I'm actually really hungry today. Wow. This is
Sugar Cult.
Yep.
That's who this is.
36.
42.
Today, Mr. Reynolds is 38 years old.
Dang, Ryan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
They're rebooting Green Lantern. It's not going to be our boy.
Not at all. Hopefully he's Deadpool, though.
Man, please. It would be great. There's no reason for it to not be him.
I know.
Because he's going to have a mask on the entire time.
And he's hilarious.
He could just voice it and do motion capture. They better do that. It'd be a waste if they didn't. If there's one character he's perfect for, it's Deadpool.
Yeah.
On this day in what year? Some 25,000 women marched in New York City demanding the right to vote.
1993. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I think it was right after Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, there was
so 1970. No, it's like 1921, right?
1930.
1915.
Okay. But they got the right to vote in 1921 or 22 or something like that.
Yes.
What are we talking about?
Oh, yeah.
We don't care.
On this day in what year? The Smurfs appeared for the first time.
How have we not gotten sued yet? Okay, it could happen. It could happen. That would be great. That would be the icing on the cake.
Totally.
I'd be making two phone calls today.
Oh, man. Gosh.
Smurfs premiered in 1981.
1969.
1958.
Whoa,
dude.
I had no idea they were that old.
I knew they were old. I didn't realize they were that old.
You guys remember the Snorks?
Oh, yeah.
On this day in what year, a Danish man said goodbye to his 86-year-old father by taking his corpse for a motorcycle ride, stopping at a bar for a beer and a cigar?
Like Weekend at Bernie style?
Gosh, people do stupid.
It's so, I just can't.
And I'm not saying people like I'm not one of them. I did something this morning. I can't remember what it was.
He strapped it to his Harley Davidson and rode around Copenhagen for 3 hours.
Wow.
To some of his father's favorite places. He said he, quote, felt good about the ride.
It was a good ride. It's a good ride, man. I love that you're playing this song.
Doug, you are a craftsman.
Ah. From the first time the doctor placed you in my arms. Oh my gosh, Will Smith, yo.
You know, he's being courted for Suicide Squad. And supposedly, he's close to making a deal. I wonder if he's gonna. But, is he gonna be Deathstroke? Because Will Smith could not be not the main Suicide Squad guy. And that's Deathstroke. Right?
It depends on what iteration they're going.
And New 52.
Or Deadshot, but either way, that's not.
See, I see Tom
Hardy.
Unless
he's Black Manta.
Oh, he could be Black Manta. But that is racist.
No, that's his name, dude, and that's Aquaman's, like, nemesis.
No, I know what you did. Okay.
1989.
1990.
1998.
Whoa.
On this same what year, Apple unveiled the iPod. It officially went on sale later that November.
I had the very first iteration.
Then what year was it?
I want to say 2003. It's either 2002 or 2003. I had the very first one. Wait.
No.
Was Jack Horn? No.
2001.
So I'm going to say 2000. I'm going to say 2003 anyways.
2001 is correct.
Yeah! My buddy Blake had one because I told him. I was like, Blake, that's never going to catch on.
Oh, dude.
Idiot!
I gave mine. I had it until recently. I gave it to Dave Martinez.
No!
Gave it to him.
Does he still have it?
Probably not. I mean, that thing didn't even, like, it had to be plugged in to, like, be used, basically.
And the number one song today?
Is this Evanescence?
No.
Sounds like it.
I'm really depressed.
Ugh.
Hey, guys.
So,
listen. Oh, right. Okay. That
settle down, that you can we talk just for a second?
Yeah.
Man, Adele is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody in this world says.
Wholeheartedly.
Somehow that girl found a way to connect with almost every single person on this planet.
Who hasn't like ever dealt with a heartache or like being broken up with or feeling less than awesome, and she took that heartache and turned it into like a number one record?
Well, I mean, I haven't dealt with any of that stuff.
Oh,
because
okay.
I'm a man.
Yeah,
but like I just like the music.
About
I appreciate
I just,
the music.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, no, me too, guys. Me too. I'm a man.
Oh, man. What is that? Your
what?
Face is leaking. Is there snot coming out of your eyes?
No!
Did you spit on your eye? How'd you do that? You must really have to pee right now. You're peeing out of your eyeballs.
Out of my eyes.
Okay, this song.
Yeah. 2007?
2011.
2011 is correct.
Oh
dang,
my
dude.
Gosh!
I didn't even.
Yeah. Yes!
Today
nicely done.
Is TV talk show host day and is Boston Cream Pie Day.
Ayo!
Ooh, Boston Cream Donuts are my favorite donuts, everyone. Just saying. I'm so hungry today.
Christian,
we gotta go to Sopo.
Bill.
We gotta take a quick break.
Bueller.
For realsies, we're going to Soaps. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today.
Yes, we have. There's
some
a story.
Crazy stuff.
We've got a list of things you should never do on social media that we're going to cover. There's a lot of stories. We got to talk all about the Avengers trailer. We need to analyze this Joker. You're talking to a couple of nerds right here. How's this going to come out and we not talk about it all day?
Yep.
Crazy.
Very interesting. It leaked, and then it was there.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we need to do to get it to, like, release earlier. We'll just try and get somebody to leak the whole film. Then maybe Marvel will push up the release date.
We need to call your friend in New York. Hey,
there you go.
Leak the whole film.
Can you leak the whole film, please?
Do you have it? You do? You don't. We'll find somebody.
Yeah.
Call your people.
Quick break.
Boom, boom.
Coming back, we got some Jimmy Eat World.
Oh.
Some Josh Garrels.
Oh.
And more T-Moss Morning Party.
Now.
Static. In the middle of our.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Howdy ho, good neighbors.
Sup?
It's your boy Mateo.
And Steve-O.
Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party.
That's right. It's time to look at traffic. We have construction at I-25 in Paseo. We have a frontage road, I-25 frontage road north between Osuna, San Mateo, and Ellison's reduced to one lane. Also, on-ramp is closed, I-25 north at Jefferson. Now, check this out. We have a stalled vehicle off to the side, I-40 east at 4th. Stalled vehicle off to the side, I-40 east at 4th. It looks like traffic's moving around that right now, but who knows what'll happen in 5 minutes. Road construction, roadway reduced to two lanes, Rio Bravo Boulevard at Isleta Boulevard Southwest. That's your look at traffic. Dang, dude!
Time to brought me by Solomon Porch Coffee Shop.
Are you enjoying your food from Solomon's Porch Coffee
Shop? I am. It's so good.
So good.
We ain't got a breakfast burrito. I'm hungry today, dude.
That's
I gotta
fine.
Eat.
I'm glad you're eating.
Bacon green.
It's about time you ate. Yeah, you don't ever eat none. It makes me so upset. I want to die.
I also got a pumpkin cream cheese muffin.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm going big this morning, guys. Going big. And that's what traffic's brought to you by. My stomach and the things that I got for my stomach from Solomon's Porch Coffee Shop here on Calvary Campus, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast. Phone number is 505-338-3669.
That joker is working. Should we turn it or should we leave it for when our guest comes in?
Oh, well, I already moved it because you said it was working and I got excited.
Well,
that's guys, fine. We got multiple angle webcam now.
Multi angle.
It's crazy. It's like the Avengers trailer.
Oh, my gosh.
So hot right now.
That Avengers trailer is so hot right now.
Here's the thing, guys. The Avengers trailer launched.
Yeah.
For Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron, Avengers 2. Go check it out at our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. It hit last night, and it was viewed, as of this morning, 7.5 million times.
It's been up for 11 hours.
Yeah.
It hasn't been up for a day.
To be fair, I've watched it. I think this morning when we watched it with Doug was the fifth time I've seen it.
I've watched it three times.
So
I woke up this morning and watched. That's the dumb thing I did.
Yeah.
I needed to get up and start getting ready, and I woke up and watched the Avengers trailer.
Yeah, dude.
And then I was like, what am I doing? I gotta get ready. Because I watched it, and I was like, oh, man, I want to watch that again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I start reading the comments under it, people noticing stuff, and yeah. I'm getting all, like, enwrapped in it. And then it was like, well, get up. Get out of the bed. What are you doing?
Yeah. Dude, it's going to be massive. May 1st? I believe May.
It's May 15th.
Is it May 15th?
Let me check it out.
Remember.
Let me look it up now. Age of Ultron.
It's in
it.
May. We're really, really excited.
Release.
The trailer is posted. Now, here's the interesting thing. I was reading an article.
May 1st, 2015.
It leaked.
May 1st.
Yesterday on multiple websites, and then Marvel officially pushed it out last night.
Mm-hmm.
No word if it was leaked,
yeah.
And then they just pushed it out because they had said that it was going to make its debut, maybe broadcast debut.
Yeah, it definitely said world broadcast debut,
yeah,
on S.H.I.E.L.D. next Tuesday.
Man, so great. So a lot of stuff going on. We're really, really excited about that. Of course, Avengers 2,
dude,
a big part of it.
Ultron looks nuts.
Yep, James Spader, for those that moms out there, The Blacklist,
yeah.
that guy.
Yeah.
The main guy in The Blacklist. He's the villain in Avengers 2.
Or for you Office fans, Robert California.
There you go. Boom. For you 80s...
80s movies fans. He was in everything.
He
that
was
came
the
out
jerk.
In the 80s.
He was Blake. Or Blaine. Or
Chad Brad Bryan.
Yeah, dude. He was that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. It is Thursday morning, 7:20 now. Steve-O and Mateo hanging out with you. We were talking about this off-air. You found a list.
Oh, I found a list.
And it's a good list.
And I actually found this because it's been over here to the side all week. I think Doug gave it to us the other day. And it just got pushed away. Push it away! Let's check it out. Guys, this list, 10 things you should never post on social networks. It comes from about.com. We share so many details of our daily lives online, but where should we draw the line on what we share about ourselves, our family, and our friends?
Yeah.
There are some tidbits of personal information that is best to never share online. Here are 10 of them. Let's start at number 10. This is where we fail constantly. Information about your current job or work-related projects.
Mmm.
I don't have Facebook, so I don't know if you know.
You've got a Twitter and an Instagram, social media.
How do we fail at that? I mean,
we put stuff up here all the time.
Yeah,
but talking about work-related things on social networks is a bad idea. Even an innocent status update about how mad you are about missing a deadline on a project could provide valuable information to your competitors, so they could leverage against your company. Maybe we don't necessarily have this issue.
Yeah. Ours are usually like, hey guys, come check out this concert. Hey guys, if you didn't buy tickets for King and Country, you're out of luck because it's completely sold out.
That's a real announcement.
That is a real announcement. Sold out completely.
Sorry about it.
Good for the band, though.
Heck yeah. It's going to be a great show, man.
So if you work at a job where it might be detrimental to your job, to post stuff about like, I'm so mad I missed my deadline, or the person in the cubicle next to me farts all the time and I hate everything. Don't do that. Don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number 9. Embarrassing things you wouldn't want shared with your employer or your family.
Oof.
Before you post anything online, think to yourself, would I want my boss or family to see this? If not, then do not post it. Even if you post something and then delete it, we all know people screenshot stuff all the time. And it's there forever.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that someone didn't take a screenshot before you had the chance to remove it, even if you post it. So why even do it? For more tips on this topic, check out this article that's linked. But I'm not going to give you those tips because I want you to just have to do it.
Yep.
Just remember, it doesn't go away.
It never goes away.
We don't live in that world anymore where you could do dumb stuff and then pray that people forgot about it and they actually would forget about it.
Yeah. Nope. Now it's on record.
As said in that movie Superbad, people don't forget. I was in like fourth grade, dude. People don't forget. Vacation plans. Hey, I'm going to be on vacation on the 25th of August. Please come rob me.
Right.
That's basically what you're saying to social network people whenever you're like, hey, I'm going on vacation. When you post your plans, photos, tag yourself somewhere out of the country, like when I was in Europe, and I'm an idiot. I'm realizing this now. We actually had some friends that recently went out of the country. And they definitely use social media to their advantage because I think, didn't they have an intruder show up? Did you see or hear anything?
No.
Our friends that recently went out of the country.
Really?
And I could be wrong. And maybe the status was kind of like a...
Ambiguous
thing. But, I think it was like, oh, that's exactly... Like, the status said something like, oh, that's exactly why I didn't, you know, or I'm putting these pictures up late. Because, no, I actually am home. And you should not try to break into my house while I'm at home because I have a gun.
Whoa.
Something like that. I'll have to look that up in a minute to see if that's what really happened. Or we could just text and ask if that happened. But yeah, listen, guys. You're basically just saying, hey, come take full advantage
this
of my
house
absence.
Is vacant.
Yeah. You're basically saying, sticky bandits, come on. I'm Macaulay Culkin, and I'm not even here. I'm at the store trying to buy milk.
But that sucks because, you want to humble brag. You want to be like, hey, I'm at Disneyland. Look at this photo of me
Disney
having
World.
A really good time. So do you then in turn wait until you're back from your trip and then post them like later gram status?
TBT.
I guess.
Throwback Thursday.
All right.
Check this out. Or you could do what I've done and get two cats. Because there's nothing that deters criminals like walking into an apartment and then seeing two cats.
That's Indiana for me.
They're like, oh, come. No. I'm allergic to cats.
Yep, yep.
Plus, we don't have anything that's worth stealing.
That's true.
We basically raid antique places.
Yeah.
And not the good antiques. It's the crappy antiques.
Yeah.
It's the one that's like, that hawk holding that... snow globe with the scene from Nightmare Before Christmas is incredible. We'll take it. That's going to be our centerpiece on our table. It's beautiful. He's got an American flag. Why is the American flag
there?
I don't know. It's wonderful.
Your style.
It's great, man. Yeah, that's what storage units are for.
Yep.
Wait until you're safely home before uploading your vacation pics or talking about your vacation online.
Okay.
Is checking in at that fancy restaurant so you can humble brag to your friends really worth giving up your location information to potential criminals?
No.
No, it's not.
The answer's no.
Do it later.
There's no better roadmap to your current location than a geotagged picture.
Yep.
Your phone might be recording the location of all pictures you take without you even knowing it, so don't post pictures with geotags. That's number 7. I'm trying to help you guys out because we are stupid on social media.
But what if you want your friends to meet up with you? Like, hey, I'm kicking it over here.
You call them and say, hey, I'm kicking it over here.
Touche.
Or you text them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's
There's
true.
There's ways around it. Number 6, your relationship status.
Ugh.
Want to give your stalker the green light they've been waiting for while simultaneously letting them know that you're more likely to be at home alone?
Oh, man.
Posting your relationship status is the surest way to accomplish it. If you want to be mysterious, just say, it's complicated. Hey, Doug, it's complicated,
buddy. It's complicated.
Hate to let you down, but it's what it is, man. Number 5, your actual real phone number.
What?
Yeah, while you
Who
may want your
that?
Friends, well, now Facebook wants you to put your phone number
nope.
on there. They're like, hey, give us a phone number in case anything ever goes wrong with your
nope.
Facebook. We can text you. And I'm always like, no.
Nope.
No.
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 No. Never. Nope. See, that's why I don't have a Facebook.
I know.
It's the most intrusive friend I have. So I'm like, I don't need you, friend.
Facebook is the most intrusive friend you can have. It's also the best mutual friend because it reminds you of when your friend's birthdays are.
That's true. Yeah, but I have you to tell me those things.
That's true.
You usually go,
because
hey.
I'm using my mutual friend Facebook. That's the only reason.
Facebook is a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
Okay? So, for me, Facebook is that friend of a friend who reminds you of things. Then, in turn, you tell me, oh, hey, today is so-and-so's birthday. Don't forget. Oh, okay.
It's funny because I think I use Facebook the most for looking at birthdays,
nah.
like people's birthdays. So, I can say, oh, it's so-and-so's birthday. Happy birthday. And when I'm getting real clever, I write, happy bidet.
Come on, aren't you guys excited that I actually remember my friends' birthdays? Like the people I really
no.
care about? I know when your birthdays are.
Come no, on. Nobody cares.
Come on!
Nobody.
That's a feat!
Nobody
That's an accomplishment!
Knows. Let's see. Next, your home address.
What?
Don't be an idiot. Don't
Who
put your home address.
These things?
Don't put your home address.
Why is there even a list for these things? These are so commonsensical.
Well, when I first got Instagram, we were still living in our first apartment in mm-hmm. Nashville. And at one point, I went to hang out with Tim and Stephanie, and I had put, like, the location or whatever. And Tim was like, hey, Matt, can you remove that location?
You did that to me once, too.
Oh, yeah.
Casa de Jeter or something.
Yeah.
Or it was either,
and
was it you
and
or
it
was
removed,
it a...
I don't know.
It was either
I think
you
it was, probably
it was one
me.
Of the House Hero guys.
It was probably me.
It was probably you.
I'm the idiot.
And I was like, hey, that's my house.
Yeah. So, removed them, you know? And then I realized, wait, I've been posting my house on Instagram this whole time, and Dawn has creepy stalker fans.
Yeah.
So I quit doing it.
Yep.
When we moved, I would tag the salsa club that was down
no
the road.
No way.
So anytime it was La Biza or something like that, salsa club.
That's why?
Yeah.
Okay. I always wondered why that was tagged in your photos.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I don't get that
joke. I would
joke.
Always tag it. And then if you clicked on the Ibiza Salsa Club and you went to, like, the post where they were tagged, it'd be, like, people dancing and being drunk and everything, and then there'd be a picture of my cereal bowl. It was great, man. It was so good. Because I know those people that own that club were like, who is doing this? Who is this? All in Spanish. Just expletives in Spanish all day long.
Oh.
With a salsa beat.
No me gusta.
No me gusta.
Amazing.
Sweetie. Another thing that you don't want to post. Pictures of your children
oh.
or your friend's children tagged with their names.
Oh, okay.
Stranger danger.
Stranger danger.
Yeah.
I have a really good friend of mine who wouldn't let me post photos.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Who's like, hey, can you not post photos of that one? Can I see that photo? Nah, don't post that one.
Well,
I was like, okay.
We all remember what happened to me when I took a picture of a kid at a baseball game.
Oh my gosh.
That I thought was funny.
A couple years ago, he took a picture of this really sweet kid. He had like the fiery, orangest, reddest
hair. I called
hair.
Him the most powerful ginger I had ever seen.
It
I
was
don't
amazing.
Know.
It was a really cute kid, man.
Yeah.
And he was
funny.
He was rocking sunglasses. He was being hilarious at the baseball game. And you took this photo, like, not to be mean, like, you really thought he was hilarious. It was great. He was making everybody laugh at the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, not so good because then
not so good because the parents were like, hey!
Then I had a random friend request on Facebook. Oh yeah, cool. And then I got messages.
Yeah, oh yeah.
This is, and I think they posted something on the picture on Instagram first, and then I got messages. Yeah.
And this is my kid.
This is my kid, and I did not give you permission, and blah 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 blah.
Parents are
and so
protected.
Then I had to explain. I was like, you know what? I didn't even think about it that way. Number one, I don't have children.
Yeah.
Number two, I've spent
which made it
so
even better because you're like, hey, look, I don't even have kids. I'm just hanging out at kids' baseball yeah. games, taking pictures of kids.
And then I was like, dang it, that doesn't sound good either. What will sound good in this situation? Nothing.
Nothing.
So I just removed it. Yeah. I just took the picture down. It was. You know what though? That's the only picture I've ever had to take down. Like yeah. in the history of me posting anything on the internet. That's
I remember Aaron Gillespie. Ran into him last night at service. Mm-hmm. I was talking with him, and recently I remember a photo he had to pull down because they said it was. He took a picture of his kid like without a shirt on.
Whoa!
And they like. Tagged it, flagged it, and pulled it down.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
And so he like reposted the photo and was like, here's my repost of my child. I don't know. So it's weird.
That's weird.
I've never had to take a photo down. It's never been flagged or anything, but I've expected it a couple times because that happened to Aaron and I was a little shocked.
It's kind of crazy.
A little shocked. Yeah.
Okay, so it's a sensitive topic.
Apparently.
Speaking of all these
yeah.
children, we want to protect our kids. We would lay down in front of a train to protect them, but many of us post hundreds of name tag pictures of our children or hashtags with the names of our children. The problem is that you can never be sure that only your friends are seeing these pictures. What if your friend has their phone stolen, logs into Facebook from the library, and forgets to log out?
Yeah.
Who is getting on Facebook at the library? Are there libraries, Doug? Doug. Do people, are there libraries out here?
No? Okay.
Hey, man.
So.
Hey, Doug, you got a library? Doug, you got a library? Give me that card, man. Hey, Doug, give me your library card.
All of my kids' photos have tagged with, like, their name so that we could, like, search for them easily.
Great. You know who else can search for them easily?
Who?
Strangers.
Stranger danger.
Strangers.
Great.
Yeah, assume everything's public. Don't post anything you wouldn't want the world having access to. That includes your kids' names.
Okay.
Also, number two, your current location!
Dun, dun, dun!
Where are you right now?
I'm in the studio.
The world wants to know.
4001 Osuna Road Northeast. We're on the Calvary campus, like just north of the main sanctuary. We're right next to the skate park. That's
I wonder if
my exact location.
I wonder if this applies to radio. All this stuff.
Right?
They're probably like, there's radio
right
now. Isn't that like a library?
We're about 12 feet south. What do you think? About 12 feet south of the skate park.
Yeah,
12 feet,
maybe.
Speaking of the kid thing, real quick, Jack got mail this week.
What?
From a bank.
Good.
Like trying to
hook
him up.
He told me. He wanted to cash that. He was like, well, maybe
so
I've
badly.
Got maybe I've got like 25 grand in there or
yeah.
something. It was like,
yeah.
what?
Yeah. It was obviously super fake. And it was like, Mr. Jack Jeter, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, and he was excited. I let him open it because it was mail for him.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, I want to be right here because I don't know what this is. And it was like, congratulations, bank account, the blah, 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 blah. And he was just like, I got money. And I'm like, son, this is,
no,
but
son.
Can we at least call? Like, what if it is real? You know,
yeah.
I'm like,
it was funny.
It is. And we then, yeah.
The youthful optimism, like
yeah.
the innocent. It's like,
yeah.
well, maybe there's money in there and I'm supposed to have it.
Yeah.
It was like when we used to get the Publishers Clearinghouse mailers.
Right.
And I would be like, no, Mom, we're going to win. I feel it. I think God's telling me we're going to win this time.
Oh, man. He was so dead set because there's a laundry list. He's saving up for an iPod right now.
Oh,
like, that's
okay.
what he wants an iPod. And so his birthday was last week. And so he's trying to save up all this money. And then all of a sudden, this letter comes in the mail and it's like, I've got $25,000.
It says that I've got 20. It says that numbers on there.
Can we at least call? Because then I can buy my iPod.
Oh.
He really wants an iPod.
He just wanted his iPod.
I know.
That's all he wanted.
Sorry, dude. Keep saving.
It's not real. They're trying to set you up.
They
man.
Are, and it almost worked.
Kiddos, you're going to learn in this life, usually. Okay, when you're a kid and you get mail,
yeah.
it's usually awesome.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because it's usually a monetary gift from a relative.
Oh, so great.
Straight up, you're mm-hmm. getting a birthday card. You're getting a happy.
They get Lego
like
magazine. They get highlights.
And then at some point, children, if you're listening,
when you go to college, you get out of high school, at some point the mail system switches.
Yes.
And instead of you getting mail with money in it, you get mail with these little plastic cards in it, and it turns out you actually owe people money if you use them.
I got this incredible letter, and it was like, discover the world. And I'm like, I will discover.
I'm an explorer.
I discovered a lot of debt.
Yeah, you
a
did.
A lot of
I'm
debt.
I'm basically the Magellan of debt.
Dude.
I've found new ways around this Joker, and I'm finding new ones every day.
Yep.
But at some point, you switch. You go from... Think about that. When you're a kid, you get money in the mail.
So great.
And then you start getting cards in the mail when you're a teenager.
Yep.
And then you get bills in the mail for the rest of your life. So you go from getting money all the time when you're a kid to owing money constantly, forever, when you're an adult. No wonder it sucks being an adult. Everything switches. When you're a kid, it's all bubbles and sunshine and candy and money. And then the older you get, it's like... Oh, man, this world is dark. It's a dark place. I'm so jaded. My heart is crusted over with disappointment. Barnacles of shame line my heart.
Man.
And they come in the form of bills every day.
Every day.
You know, I mean, that's not me. I'm not.
Not you, you.
Not me.
Yeah, right.
That's figurative me.
Exactly.
That's Mateo, not Matt.
Right.
By the way. I spell it with two T's, everybody.
Yeah, M-A-T-T-E-O.
It's a play on how I'm not Hispanic at all.
That's okay. I spell Stevo S-T-E-V-O, not S-T-E-V-E-O.
Yeah.
No, it's like Devo.
Stevo.
No, like Devo. Stevo.
Stove? Is it Stove?
Yeah.
No, it's...
That's the name of it.
That's an appliance name.
If you swap the O-E-E...
Thanks, Stove.
Stove.
Can we call him Stove Duck?
Yes.
Stove Duck? Wait, Stove Duck. There's a joke there somewhere. I'm going to find it. You give me the rest of this show. Number one, your full birth date.
Oh.
I post my birthday on everything, and it's because I freaking want presents, and it never works.
August 12th.
One day you're going to get a present in the form of a bullet, buddy. Wow.
Your full birthday. That's true, though, because that's how people... identify. Like yesterday,
yeah, they steal your identity.
I got a phone call, and it was like, can you please take me off this list? And they were like, sure, just give me your full... Just give me your full birthday. We'll take you off the list.
Let me tell you something about my birthday, buddy. It comes once a year, and you're never going to know it unless you want to give me a monetary gift like when I was a kid and everything was happy. Mm. And then you can know my birthday because I will gladly give it to you.
Mm.
How much is your check for? That's the only way you're getting my birthday, if you pay for it.
Yep.
I'm not saying that that's what'll happen, but that's exactly what'll happen if you're listening. So think about it.
There you go.
While you may love getting loads of birthday wishes posted by your friends on your Facebook timeline, having your birthday posted on your profile may provide scammers and identity thieves with one of the key pieces of information needed to steal your precious identity and open up accounts in your name.
See, instead of putting my full birthday on social media, I just put the last four of my social. So that's so much, you know.
That's good.
Yeah.
They'll never get it.
They'll never get it.
The best thing
to do, though.
The last
four, guys.
You want to be able to have a memorable password.
Mm-hmm.
So you make it something super simple, like dogs are cool, you know, or 1234. That's your password for everything.
Dogs are cool?
Dogs are cool.
Why would you tell everybody your real password?
See, that throws people off because they know I like cats.
Oh, yeah.
So they'd be like, how would his password would never be dogs are cool.
Right.
It would be cats are cool.
Yeah.
And then they never get it.
That's
genius.
Yeah, that's really
it's
smart.
Doug,
no,
what
I
do you
agree.
Think?
It's
out
super
of a
smart.
10, 1 to 10, how genius is that method?
Huh?
What do I get?
Dogs are cool.
Dogs are cool.
It's a great password.
What's my number?
He uses it forever.
Oh, man, he's thinking. This is, I get a five. I get a five out of 10.
Five.
Golly, gosh. Man, I got to try harder.
Yeah, man.
Hey, what's your password, man?
Cats are cool. Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
You went the... We think the
it's
same.
It's because I have a dog, and
I know.
Like, nobody will ever think... Yeah, it's great.
The funny thing would be is if I was actually giving out my actual password, but, you know, I wasn't.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
Wait a second.
Ooh, meta.
I need to change...
This got so deep.
My password.
We're going to take a quick break because I got to call my bank. Make sure I
save all
my funds
in
there.
No, we're not taking a break.
Okay.
No, we're going to leave our... We're going to see how many people actually take the hint and hack into our thing.
There you go.
I will take my full birth date off, though. I've never thought
you
about that.
You should probably, yeah.
I don't think about those things.
But I feel like with Google these days, you can just Google all that.
You Google it.
You Google.
You really can.
Yeah.
Luckily, though, it seems like a lot of banks and credit card companies are on the ball when it comes to identity thieving.
Yeah.
But Don and I have not made it easy on them because 1 week
We're both in Albuquerque. The next week, she's in Europe. I'm in Washington State.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, what's happening? I think the bank pretty much just gives up on touring musicians.
See, and
well, I don't know where he is. Who cares if his money's stolen?
Chrissy and I have made it very difficult for hackers because we just don't have any money in our bank account ever.
That's another way to do it.
Yeah.
That's a solid
way. If
you're
just always broke, it's the plan.
I'm broke.
It's the plan. So it's to deter hackers from taking money.
Yeah. Because
if there's nothing in there, they can't take it.
They can't do it.
Ha ha ha!
It's pretty cool.
Jokes on you, hackers!
Jokes on you.
I don't have any money!
You jerks.
Ha!
You jerks. Hey, so, question of the day.
Yeah.
We've just gone through a list of 10 things you should never post on social networks.
Truth.
Which one of these are you guilty of?
All of them.
And why?
Oh.
No. Why?
Facebook.com/mystaticradio. I don't even have a Facebook to post things to.
It counts on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, I need to go back and check then. Because
question of the day. Guys, listen to me type.
10 things you should never post on social networks. What's something you are tired of seeing posted on social media? Because we are inundated with it.
Listen, you ready?
I'm hearing.
We just did a list of 10 things.
Avengers trailer is posted. Speaking of things that should be posted on everybody's social media, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Get there, check it out. Incredible new trailer for...
When I type, it sounds superheroic.
It does sound heroic.
Listen to this. Okay. I mean, it sounds like I'm a secretary of the world. Listen to this. We just did things you never should.
We got to take a quick break. Coming back, we got some schematic... We got some Fallout Boy, and more from you. 10 things you should never post on social networks.
Mm-hmm.
What's something you're tired of seeing posted, or what are you guilty of posting?
What you guilty of, y'all? Tell us all about it.
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Get ready for a jolt. Ready?
Wake up!
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Wake up!
On Static Radio.
Oh, and here comes trouble. Here comes trouble.
Traffic time. Let's check it out.
Word.
There's a lot of congestion on Alameda near Coors. I don't know what's going on, but lots of stuff. It's down to like 9 miles an hour over there. So, good luck. Paseo actually doesn't look so bad right now. East and westbound. There's construction at I-25 in Paseo. We have road construction. The roadway is reduced to one lane. I-25 frontage road north between Osuna, San Mateo, and Ellison. Also, we have on-ramp that's closed at I-25 north at Jefferson. And we have road construction. The roadway reduced to two lanes. Rio Bravo Boulevard at Isleta Boulevard Southwest. 40 eastbound near Coors. Between Coors and the Big Eye is kind of stacked. I don't know. There was a stalled vehicle earlier, but it doesn't show anything on the map. So I don't know what's going on. It's down about 30 miles an hour. Typical morning traffic.
There you go.
That's your look at it.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert campus.
Calvert.
Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Welcoming to the show, our boy Clay Schroff.
Good morning.
From the Aspen Project.
Hey, just a quick note out to Peter Benson. He told me, this coffee's great. You don't have to go to SoPo. This coffee's like tea.
What?
Disagree. Oh. I thought it was okay. I drank some this morning.
No. Hey, gotta go to SoPo.
Let me make you some coffee one day.
Yeah, dude.
I like
this
to make a little something called coffee brewed coffee.
Yes.
Very good. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Dude, man, we think alike, Clay. Clay, have you ever had bulletproof coffee? Have you ever tried that stuff?
I've never shot at coffee.
Well, you should try it sometime. No. They
is
make
that
this
the butter coffee?
Yeah, they make some, okay. And it's got like a ghee butter. Ghee is the way. It's G-H-E-E, I think. But it's made from... grass-fed, whatever, you get it. And there's
super
like
a hippie butter.
Yeah, it's an MCT oil that you put in it, and you mix it up, and it's like awesome. It's got more of a caffeine boost, and it's technically healthier for you or something.
Wow.
You can look it
bulletproof
up.
Bulletproof grass-fed coffee.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Grass-fed coffee.
Grass-fed. Here, you know what? The cows that I eat, are they vegetarians?
It depends. Have your cows been infected with Ebola?
You know, I can't give blood because of cows.
Really?
They go, So they ask all these really embarrassing questions that you don't even think you should be able to read. And
right.
then they do this. They go, have you ever been to England?
Oh, yeah.
And I go, yes. They go, you cannot give blood. So you have to go because of the mad cow disease.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Right?
I remember that.
So I'm in this room full of people and they ask a bunch. I'm not even going to even hint at what the questions are, but they're
yeah.
horrible.
Yeah.
And then they go, you can't give blood, sir. And I'm like, and everyone looks at you like, ooh, I wonder which one he couldn't answer right. It's mad cow disease.
Yeah, you just stand and go, is it cow question? Quit judging me.
As I'm wow. leaving the place, I kept going, I've been in England.
Yeah, for real. That's hilarious. They do Speaking ask of some cows. Really interesting questions, man. Oh,
I enjoyed that part of the blood thing because I answered completely randomized
yeah.
and ridiculously.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I can't. I get nervous when it's too serious.
It's like they start asking those questions and I go, hang on. What's your stance on vampires? And then they're like, what do you mean, what's my stance? And I'm like, well, we have a lot to talk about.
Right.
And then I'm just talking out of my butt.
Yep. That's how we fine. Do.
You're kind of liking, though.
You got to disarm the situation.
You're not really like a vampire guy.
I don't know what I am.
Yeah. If I could be, get this straight.
I would be a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Oh.
Welcome. Happy Thursday.
It is Thursday.
It is, man. We're one step closer to the weekend. Everybody's excited.
I am.
What do you got on the horizon?
November 16th.
Yes.
Sunday, 1:30. Super important. We're doing a church challenge. So we're doing a New Mexico church challenge. And it really probably is Albuquerque church challenge. But if yeah. you're from surrounding areas and you can make it, 1:30 on a Sunday, we are having just a huge amount of guests that come in that anyone that's imprinting Christ on a child's heart, we're meeting right here in the hub.
Okay.
So
right,
it's
Calvary,
right behind
Albuquerque.
Right. It's in the baptismal. It's obviously Calvary's
you're
my mother church.
In the baptismal?
I am. We're going to swim around and talk about helping kids.
Yes.
We're going to have the children's choir introducing people in, so they're going to be
that's
singing
cool.
while we come in, and then after we're done. But listen, like we have Adam Kane from Hope EV Free going to give mm-hmm. stats on what's going on in Albuquerque. He's an outreach pastor there and really has done a lot with uniting churches together, done a phenomenal job. You know, we have Reload Love's going to be there.
Yes.
We're going to have the Bear Foundation and CYFD. We're going to have Holt International, an adoption agency. Adoptions Plus. I'm trying to think of everyone that's going to be there. There's just a ton of people. And what we're really trying to do is introduce to not only the body of Christ, but also the leadership of the churches of what you can get started in your own church. We want people to come out and copy what other people are doing. And let's get these kids. If we're ever going to have a future, or if our kids are going to have a future, we have to take care of the kids of today. Not to mention, we really have a call to imprint Christ on the heart of a child so that they enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
So when Aspen Project says bringing kids home, it's about bringing them in and providing shelter and food, but it really is about bringing them into an eternal kingdom.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's it. So if you are someone that goes to someone other than Calvary, please, we really need your help.
Yeah.
We need you to go to your leadership, have them announce it. It's not about recruiting people from other churches. We want to plant the idea of what we're doing in children in other churches. And
yeah, we should be coming together as one body of Christ and saying, hey, all right, I get it. We all go to different churches here, but that's not what's important. What is important are these crazy statistics about the homeless populace of children in the Albuquerque area, how we as a church could be helping, foster care, adoption, what you guys as Aspen Project do, and trying to provide resources, tools necessary so that you in turn can go back to your home church and expand that within your own community of fellowship, if you will, so that it gets out. It's not like, hey, come conform to us. It's, hey, this is what's happening in the city. We as Christians are called to do this, to take care of the widows, the orphans, and this is one way you can do it. So then take these tools, take these resources, and find a way to help wherever God has placed you already.
We have our pro-life ministries are going to be there. Mm-hmm. There is so many ways that we can plug in. And I think in the Bible where it says the fatherless, right now we define that a little different. You know, as Christians, we think that's that child that has lost its mother and its father and doesn't have a place to stay. But we have so many children right now that are fatherless and being led down the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Either the fatherless child that the father has chosen not to be there to save its life before it's born.
Yeah.
So the pro-life ministries, mentorship programs so that you're plugging in. We're going to have Life Quest there, and they go into the juvenile detention centers and minister to kids where they're at. And it's a huge event for us. And we really think that it can be a catalyst for other churches to really kickstart. And there are tons of churches out there that are already doing what we're doing. So we're not recreating the wheel. If you have a ministry and think that it can benefit, get a hold of me.
Yeah.
Because we want to plug in as many different churches as we can.
Yeah, 410-4460 is the phone number.
Yep.
410-4460 to contact Clay and get involved. We're posting all the information on our Facebook page as well, facebook.com/mystaticradio, or just get to Facebook and search Static Radio. You'll find us there and get all the details for Aspen Project, what's going on. November 16th, it's a Sunday, 1:30 at the Hub here at Calvary Albuquerque.
We have a special guest. It's a crazy radio station that's kind of on the edge of just all things polite and, you know, but they love Jesus Christ and they like help spreading the word.
Yeah.
So you guys should come out and meet them. It's Static Radio.
Oh.
Thanks.
Yeah.
They are truly one of our partnering ministries.
I was like, oh, did he invite the Edge?
But I love those guys.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, they're actually doing something really cool coming up as well, the Take the Edge Off Hunger, collecting cans for the storehouse and bringing out a big band, Flyleaf, who's going to be taking part in that. So they're jumping. If our friends at the Edge can be doing something for the community of Albuquerque, surely you can too.
And friends.
So yep. Seriously, get involved some way, shape, or form, because truly, we're called. I mean, this is what we have been placed in this community in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for a reason, whatever that may be. And if you're searching for something to get involved in, this is an incredible opportunity to just share the love of Christ and be a light in your community.
And there are tons of ministries that you'll never – it's hard to get so many ministries together that are truly impacting.
Right.
So, you know, as a body of Christ, or as a believer, as a church leader, it's a great way to come in and plug in with these and steal our ideas. We, you know, it's a ministry. The more ideas that we can steal from each other, the more kids we can get to the kingdom. And you know what? It's important. And thank you guys for what you guys do. You know, there's a reason we invited Static Radio to come, and it's specifically because you guys are reaching out to you know, if you're a listener, this is what I'd love to have. If you're a listener and you otherwise haven't been to a church, and if it wasn't for Static Radio, I'd like to hear about it. And we'd like to plug you in, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There you go. All the details at our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Or, of course, aspenproject.org. You can find it there. Or give Clay a call directly at 410-4460. That's 410-4460. There you go, man.
That was kind of short and sweet and to the point.
I like it.
But that was solid. We got all the information.
It was great.
Solid.
Solid as a rock.
Solid as a rock. There's a rock that's solid.
Anyways.
Guys, if you haven't learned anything about superheroes or comic books, I have learned more in the last few months.
Yeah.
And I used to collect comics.
Yeah. What?
You're learning.
I'm learning so much.
But here's the question: is it informative, and do you care?
Well, let me tell you why I care. Because I go home, right?
Yeah.
And my son, I have my sons love anything superhero.
Right.
And they're informing me, Dad, there's a Red Hulk. I said, Dude, there's nothing but a Green Hulk. So I come here.
Yeah.
I come here to the experts, and you go, Well, there's
a Red Hulk. There's a Gray Hulk.
There's a Red She-Hulk.
Yeah. There's a
Who
Red
even
She-Hulk
cares
at this
about
point?
She-Hulk?
Oh,
other than Adri.
Well, there you go.
Our events coordinator here at Calvary Albuquerque. Yeah. Oh, she cares about She-Hulk.
She cares.
But it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, thanks, man. We had fun. We definitely do. So check out all the details at our Facebook page. And while you're there, 10 things you should never post on social networks. What's something you're tired of seeing posted everywhere
No more food. Don't post food.
There you go. Yeah. Oh,
somebody
man.
Said selfies.
Selfies. Oh, yeah. Man. You know, I would love to post a selfie of Keanu Reeves, but I tried, and he didn't believe me. It's just, it was a dream I had on Monday, and it still affected me to this day. I don't know what to do.
You know,
about it.
A dream is like a river.
Oh.
Ever changing as it flows.
Yeah.
And the dreamer is just the vessel that must follow
where it goes.
You've heard
trying
this.
Trying to learn from words. But Clay, do you like
Take it, Clay.
Music?
Take
I post
it.
Selfies of me sleeping.
What's in store.
How do you do that?
Who are you?
It's pretty awesome.
I was really expecting you to bust in a Garth Brooks and know every word to the song we were singing.
No, I go way old country.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know,
like
what's
Hank
that?
Williams Sr.?
What's my new listening? I listen to Nicki. What's that new song by Nicki?
Nicki Minaj?
Who? That's her. Who is she?
What?
Who is she?
Oh, my gosh.
Clay?
Who are you?
You listening to that Anaconda song?
Is that what it is?
I hope not.
Man, I really hope not. What just happened?
Good things just happened. Let's play
this
Doug's
dude.
Favorite song.
Oh, man. All right. Going out to Doug.
Yeah.
Producer Doug, this is for you, buddy.
Sing it. You sing it. I'm not singing.
I don't know the words.
That she's back in the atmosphere. Dropped Jupiter in her head.
Wow.
Almost perfect, Doug.
Almost on.
Sorry. All right, you can take it down.
Okay, sweet. Thank you. Coming up, we got some Under Oath for your listening pleasure, some Yellow Card, but right now, brand new music from the Classic Crime.
We're coming right back.
Yes, we are.
So don't think we're going away.
We are not. Nope. Steam Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party. On Static Radio.
Yeah. I miss you, Biggs. You're my boy.
You are my boy, too.
So.
Every brand new day.
Back in 1998, my best friend, his name was Nate. We used to go down to the skate park, and we had a big time. What? That didn't rhyme.
I've been missing you.
Oh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
Let me rap.
Oh. Team Awesome Morning Party, welcome.
Guys, it's Thursday.
Welcome to the show.
It's almost time for the weekend.
Yep. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we've got our boy Brian Nixon in studio. Theology Thursday. We've got some really interesting things to discuss today. Excited about that.
Excited!
We got some theological questions.
But before we get to that, we're going to discuss a little bit of things. A little bit of something.
A little bit of things.
Talk about it.
Did you eat some of this pork?
Yes. And mad cow disease-ridden beef.
Yeah, let's talk about this.
Because I think we've discovered something huge in this story. We need some... What music? It's definitely not Last Friday Night. No, it's definitely not that either. Because...
Yes.
There's crazy stuff going on down in Australia, everybody. Because a feral pig has ransacked a campsite... And drank at least 18 cans of beer.
This is a real news story.
Before getting into an altercation with a cow.
Yeah, I'm talking to you, you cow.
Hey, you big bovine jerk.
Who are you calling pig, you cow?
Here's the thing, guys.
This is a real news story.
The incident, which happened in a remote area of Western Australia at the Grey River rest area, prompted officials to warn campers to keep their food and alcohol secure. The wild pig was seen around the campsite for several days last week, says the Australian Broadcasting Company, or ABC.
Mm-hmm.
Citing officials who said the animal got into multiple six-packs of beer over the course of a few days. Fiona Finley from the Government Highway Division, Main Roads, told ABC that the people camping overnight at the rest area said the pig stole their beers, drank the beers, and then afterwards proceeded to tear apart the bin liners. I'll tell you how it's possible. All you people out there that say evolution isn't real, I present to you the drunken pig. That pig, which goes into campsites and goes straight for the beer.
Did he go hog wild?
He went hog wild. Now, some of you out there might think this is rather boorish, but let me tell you the truth.
Oh, gosh.
It is actually... Man, pig puns are great.
Yeah.
This is like the pork and beans of life, people. This is the bacon of today. We're giving you the best thing you've ever heard.
Dude, and then he went and picked a fight.
Okay,
with the
cow. The camper, who only identified as Merida, said there were some other people camped right on the river. They saw him running around their vehicle being chased by a cow. So what's happened is we're basically getting a terrible reenactment of Animal Farm. Right. Do you guys remember that book, Animal Farm,
totally.
By George Orwell?
I was forced to
so
read
the
that.
Pigs
yes.
go
yes.
nuts and yep. take over the farm. The cows kind of fall in line.
Yep.
What's happened is this pig has totally shown animals like their hand. He's yeah. totally, he's like, hey, guys. Because he's figured out the secret.
Yeah.
To, like, evolving. It's alcohol. Yeah,
apparently.
That's what happened.
That's what happened. This pig drinks 18, you said?
This
is real. This is a real story. A pig drinks 18 beers in Australia. He goes and picks a fight with the guy. He's like, hey, look, you cow. He pork chops him in the face. Then the cow turns around and he's like, yo, dude, now I got beef with you.
Okay. It's getting...
Take this, grass-fed.
I'm about to grass feed you.
Oh, this is terrible.
This is great. It's going to keep going, too, because I'm not done yet.
Okay.
It was going around and around, and then it went into the river and swam across to the middle of the river. Finley told ABC that her crews are not equipped to deal with wild pigs, especially if they are drunk. Nobody saw this coming. Completely unpredictable.
That was a real quote. This is real. This is a real news story.
The pig was last seen lying beneath a tree, potentially nurturing a hangover. Update, the pig has been killed. For real.
Are you serious?
They put it down.
They put it down?
Yeah.
And the moral of the story is, kids, don't sneak into somebody else's camp and drink their beer. They will put you down. No?
In the remote regions of Western Australia, feral pigs are seen as an invasive pest because of the diseases they carry, which can infect livestock. So they put this joker down. Because not only is he a wild pig, probably got all kind of diseases, picking fights with cows.
Wild
but he knows how to get wasted.
Yeah.
This pig went
crazy.
For it. He was having a bad week.
Oh, man.
And so he was like, you know what? I watch all these humans do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They get to act like idiots. It's my turn. Evolution, baby. 18 cans later, he's like, hey, there's a cow over there. I don't like his spots. How come he gets black and white spots on him? I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him.
Unbelievable.
And then he runs over to the cow. Ba-doom, ba-doom, and then the cow's like, and then they chase each other. Eventually, a cow goes out. Wait, did the cow swim to the middle of the river?
I don't know. You were telling the story.
Yeah, it just says it was going around and around, and then it went into the river and swam across to the middle of the river.
Gosh. And somehow didn't drown.
Needless to say, nobody is prepared for this kind of thing.
You're
not going to be equipped. Like, regular police force is not equipped to deal with wild boars, much less wild, drunken boars.
Yeah.
That are just going nuts. Chasing cows around, rooting through people's campsites. What's next? What is next in our world? Doug, what's next? No predictions.
Yeah. I'm so thrown off by this, I don't even know what to say at this point. A beer-drinking pig breaks into a campground, drinks up all the camper's beer, chases a cow, and then is put down.
They put him down. They had to.
I mean, yeah.
It's Australia, though, so everybody's like, yeah, it was a good decision.
Right.
Australia's a little bit of an untamed...
And the best part is the pork chops were pre-marinated.
Oh. Good grief.
So... I'm just saying.
Can we start asking Doug for predictions and call him Nostradamus?
Oh my god.
Doug, can that be a thing? Nostradamus.
Doug, do you think there will ever be another animal that learns how to drink 18 cans of beer?
He's checking. He's using the...
No!
He says no.
Wow.
Okay. You should write
Not
a book,
likely.
Nostradamus.
Not likely.
Speaking of evolution and humanity at its peak,
yeah,
accused drug dealer Barnabas Davis was apparently hoping to stand out from his competition by capitalizing on global paranoia.
Okay.
Let's see. When police in Toms River, New Jersey arrested Davis, 47 years old, on Monday, they allegedly discovered 633 wax folds of heroin.
Whoa.
As well as trademark stamps that marked the packets with the brand name Ebola. Investigators said they got a tip about drug dealing taking place in the rear suites of the Ramada Inn along Route 9. Can we talk about how sketchy the Ramada Inn along Route 9 is? I mean, come on, people. I'm from Albuquerque right now, and I know about how sketchy the Ramada Inn on Route 9 over in New Jersey is. It's sketchy. It's sketch city. You can go over there at 1:30 in the afternoon, and it's midnight, if you know what I'm saying. It's the worst. Do you know what I'm talking about? Anyway, they executed a warrant of Davis's room. The Ebola-branded heroin doesn't actually contain the dead virus.
That's good. That's
it's just
good.
A way for customers to ask for a specific type of heroin, according to Toms River police officer Ralph Stoko. Different dealers have different potencies and products. Many times they are labeled with catchy phrases. There's been Bin Laden, Hello Kitty, DOA, Twin Towers, 9/11, Gumball, POW. How did Gumball get thrown in the mix? It's like, okay.
There's been Saddam Hussein. What do
you?
Osama
you
Bin
have
Laden,
these heroin guys sitting around, and they're like, thing. "We just need like a catchy name." What about 9/11? No, it's been used. Yeah, yeah. What about Bin Laden? It's been used. What about Twin Towers? Used.
Oh yeah.
What about Hurricane Katrina? Oof. Used. What about like bubonic plague? Nah, that's used. Ebola? Somebody just used it. What about Gumball?
My cousin died from choking on a gumball, so that's...
let's use it.
Okay.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right. Too soon.
Gumball.
Too soon.
Davis, known as Hammer by some, was charged with possession of heroin with intent to distribute, possession of crack cocaine, and possession of crack cocaine with the intent to distribute, according to NJ.com. That's NewJersey.com. He was taken to the Ocean County Jail in lieu of a $300,000 bail. Investigators say the Ramada Inn had no knowledge or involvement in Davis's alleged drug dealing.
The Ramada.
The Ramada. It sounds sketchy to me. Doug. Nostradamus?
Nostradamus.
Prediction?
Sketch.
What do you think? Ramada Inn? He says yes.
Yeah. Speaking of Nostradamus, I found a list.
Okay.
For Throwback Thursday. These were things that Doug predicted 1 year ago. Not really.
Okay.
These happened a year ago.
Nice.
Today.
Okay.
Things we were talking about.
I like it.
Speaking of the drunken pig, actually a year ago today, Evo Taro managed to lose weight by doing what many men love to do, drink beer and eat sausages.
What?
Yeah. Inspired by the yearly Oktoberfest celebrations, this Arizona man used the diet to lose weight for 3 years. He drank 6 beers a day, consuming 15,000 calories per week. That's about 2,100 calories a day. Last year, he even managed to lose up to 14 more pounds.
I don't believe that.
I don't
I do not believe that.
Either.
Not even a little bit.
Speaking of crazy wildlife, chicken keeping has become more and more popular in urban and suburban areas.
We should call Chrissy.
Yeah, Chrissy wants chickens so badly.
Chrissy.
Not going to happen, Chrissy. But what happens when your chickens wander outside of the confines of their coop in your lawn? Or they encounter some traffic in the front?
What?
Don't worry. Neon safety vests for chickens. They were available 1 year ago today.
That's what I'm talking
about. Neon safety vests for your chicken.
I love it.
How about this one? A travel company began offering vacations for stuffed animals 1 year ago today. Owners can pay between $20 and $55, and the owners of the stuffed animals say they live vicariously through them.
Oh!
They see the cuddly toys jetting off to luxurious places. They feel as if they're also traveling.
Humanity.
What a waste.
We are a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, we are.
Every one of us.
Which is why Teo and I would like to announce our new business.
Yes. Come alongside us, everyone. We're going to take your shoes.
How have we not monopolized on this? Monopolized?
No, monetized.
Monetized.
Listen, I've got this, guys. Look, we will wear other people's shoes. It doesn't matter the size.
To cool places.
Steve-O loves wearing heels anyway. We'll wear your shoes. We'll take them on great adventures.
Mm.
It'll be awesome. Mm-hmm. We'll take pictures. We'll Instagram. We'll geotag them so we'll know where your shoes are.
Yeah.
You can track us down if you need to. You steal our identities or whatever. We'll do it. And then it just costs you a cool meal, man. That's all it is. Just throw it out there, entrepreneur. Mm. This is a great opportunity. I've got an exciting opportunity that people are excited about, and I'm so excited to tell you.
Yeah.
It's exciting to be this excited. Would you be excited with me?
I am very excited. The company is called Soulmates. S-O-L-E.
Got it. Got it.
All right.
Keep going.
We'll wear other people's shoes.
Yeah, because it's our buddy's shoes.
It's our buddy's
shoes.
It's
like our mates.
It's like our soulmate.
Yeah.
Right? And we'll take the shoes everywhere, and you can live vicariously through your own shoes.
We will walk all around this campus.
I will walk 500 miles.
Yeah, you will know exactly what it's like to walk a mile in our shoes, because there will be your shoes walking the mile.
I think this is a great business
venture. Brilliant.
Call now. While supplies last.
Kickstarter. Yeah, we're going to crowdfund it.
Okay. Soulmate.
Soulmate.
I'm just saying.
Soulmate.
I'm just saying, bro.
We'll get Sarah McLachlan to sing the commercial so people will instantly feel guilty.
Could happen.
They'll be like, oh, no, I've got it. Where's the checkbook? Where is the check? Who do we use checks anymore? Give me the...
Oh,
is
man.
Is there a QWERTY code on there? What is this?
Do you guys remember the story a year ago today? A guy in Italy was arrested on suspicion of kidnapping his ex-girlfriend. He dragged the woman out of a pub, shoved her into the car, took her to his house, where he made her iron and wash his dishes. True story, Italy!
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
No.
A year ago today.
Man,
that's... I actually do remember that. A year ago today, we learned that about 11% of all text messages are deceptive.
Ooh.
Researchers at Cornell University examined 5,000 texts and found that 10.7% of them are used to tell people they're someplace they're not.
All right, hang on.
Yeah, man, I'm on my way. Yeah, dude, I'll be there. I'm right around the corner. I'll be right there. Nah, man, I can't make it. I'm at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Nah, man, sorry, I can't. Yeah, lies.
Did you just get a text?
Hold on just a sec. Oh, I just got a text.
Who is it?
Oh, it's from you.
I sent you a text message?
Yeah. Oh, I'm at the fair. You're at the fair?
What? What?
That's crazy.
What?
Speaking of the fair and the world's largest jigsaw puzzle commercially available to you a year ago today has 24,000 pieces.
What were we doing a year ago?
I don't know. That's your throwback Thursday.
Throwback. Throw it back, everybody.
Ugh. We got to take a quick break. Coming back, 9 o'clock hour. Don't forget. We're going to do something fantastic. We're going to do something magical.
So what?
It's called... It's called Theology Thursday. Pastor Brian Nixon gonna be here.
We got an email. We got a Theology Thursday question.
We do. If you would like to get your questions in, you can do so. studio@mystaticradio.com. We already got one this morning. We're excited to share.
Wait.
With our...
Can you guys hear that? Listen.
Brian Nixon. Yeah, I can hear that.
Wait, do you think they can hear it?
Yeah. Doug, can you hear that?
What is
that? Yeah, the people can hear that.
You know what that is? That's me rubbing my microphone.
That weirdo.
Maybe you're riding in your car and you thought, did I just... Did I just pass?
Nope.
Was that me?
No, it wasn't you.
It's not you, it's me.
It was the drunken pig.
It's not you, it's me.
Yep, that's right. Coming right back, some Finding Iris. We got some Yellow Card that we promised, that Sleep Wave, and more Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo, featuring Pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Theology Thursday. Steve-O Mateo and our boy B-Nix.
B-Nix is back.
Listen to that soothing voice.
I love it, man.
B-Nix is back.
Yeah. So good. So good.
You know where I was?
Where?
I was in California.
Whoa.
You know what I was doing there?
Surfing.
No.
Disneyland.
Let me tell you the one time I surfed in Northern California.
Okay.
I cut school with a friend. Either my junior or senior year.
Yeah.
We go to Santa Cruz. We go out. We think we're all surfer dudes trying to, you know, play it cool. He goes out. He gets pulled in an undertow and starts to drown. I have to swim out there, pull him to shore. And obviously that was the end of his surfing foray and the end of my surfer phase. It lasted a day.
Gosh.
So when people go, dude, you're from California, do you surf? No, I don't.
Right.
I save surfers from drowning.
I like that, Beanie.
Does that make you a lifeguard?
Good, man.
No, it just makes me at the person at the right place at the right time when the dude's going under.
Does that make you a lifeguard? No, it just makes me a hero.
Yeah.
that's what you should have said.
That's the response. That is the response. Man, it is Theology Thursday. The phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700.
We did get one question over email.
Really?
Hey, guys. Good Shepherd is my simple statement of faith right now. This is real, Phoenix.
Yes, yes.
It's a running prayer playing in the background and often forefront of my brain almost constantly. But I can't make out all the lyrics. Can you help me out? Also, I hope to see Woven Hand in Santa Fe on November 4th. Maybe I'll figure it out then if y'all are stumped too. Anyway, this guy named Brett emailed in, and I was like, now that's a Theology Thursday question.
Hey, Brett, let me tell you. I mean, this is a little bit more cultural, theological. Mm. But, Brett, I agree with you. Good Shepherd is a rockin' song, and David Eugene Edwards, who is singing here in the background, truly is one of those anomalies. He's a Christian believer, serious Christian believer, who really is not known in Christian circles. He's more known in secular circles.
Yeah.
He's toured with some pretty notable big bands, secular bands, but his message is so rock solid, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so he used to be in a Denver band called 16 Horsepower, and because of some of the spiritual debates that was happening within the band, he left and formed Woven Hand.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many albums they've put out, but all of the albums truly have a very biblical, Christocentric theme. It's pretty amazing that he's doing that. And again, within the Christian world, he's not as well known, except for people like Steve-O and Mateo, who play...
Oh, I can't take credit, man. Totally hooked me up with this band.
Who play Woven Hand, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
True.
Which is cool. But to answer your question as to what his lyrics say, I don't know at the hand. I just know My Good Shepherd. I would have to look up the lyrics and read them to you. But it is exciting. He's coming to Santa Fe November 4th. November 4th, Woven Hand will be in Santa Fe. I know I got my tickets. I did. I admit.
Oh, did you?
I got my tickets the day I found out they were in Santa Fe. So I will be there with my family.
You texted us immediately telling us when Woven Hand was coming.
November 4th. That's a Tuesday night.
He said, guys, it's happening.
It's happening. Woven Hand is here. They're fine. You know, interesting about Woven Hand, they're very popular in Europe, which is usually the case. A lot of bands that can't take here in America take in Europe. So they tour mostly Europe, and then they come back to the States, and it's great that they're coming to Santa Fe. So,
yeah. Dude, I read a great article, actually, on Pitchfork, who was talking about Woven Hand as a band and how they're gaining popularity, and yet problems in the industry with his potential audience is his faith.
Right.
Because the audience that he is reaching out, as you mentioned, these big bands like
Nine Inch Nails.
Those types of artists usually are geared very anti-religion.
They're angst-oriented.
Anti-establishment, and so, but he says that his Christianity is the anchor for the music that he makes, and the fire and brimstone religion, you know, cast is often something that can deter people, if you will, I guess. And so, yeah.
See, I liken this. I'm going to turn it to a little bit of biblical discussion. To me, what he is doing, David Eugene Edwards, is very similar to what Jesus did.
Yeah.
In that Jesus went out to be among the people. Jesus hung out with the tax collectors. He hung out with the sinners. He hung out with the prostitutes and individuals who the religious leaders would, you know, kind of snoot their nose to.
Right.
But I appreciate an individual who's willing to stand firm on what they believe, their Christian faith, their Christian biblical worldview, but still be in an area, an audience, where you can perform your art, so to say, and be respected by it. What's interesting, I haven't read that particular Pitchfork, but I've read other secular media write-ups of Woven Hand, and it's usually interesting how they perceive it. You know, one gentleman, and I forgot which the magazine wrote up about Woven Hand, but you know, he goes, I think his opening sentence went something like this: I don't believe in God, but I believe in David Eugene Edwards.
Wow.
And he goes on to say that this guy truly is making amazing music and has been for years. If you go back, you know, further in time, he was truly one of the first indie bands out there. I mean, 16 Horsepower kind of helped cut the cloth for indie music.
Yeah.
He's got a little more hard. Woven Hand's a little more rockin' now than they were with 16 Horsepower. But I appreciate Christians who are in the world but not of the world. And he's creating his art in a unique form and fashion.
Can we steer this direction a little bit? Because it is Theology Thursday. I want to talk about something, because in this day and age, it seems like everybody's going for that edge. They want to be cutting edge, edgy, different, relevant, real, raw. We recently had an interview with Kirk Cameron, and before we were even allowed to interview him, it was like, well, wait, are you guys going to shock jock this? They basically interviewed me before I could interview him, because he has a very conservative audience. And it was like, are you going to try and be edgy? Are you going to try, you know? And so I think people are tired of that. Does this speak to the gospel is an offense, our presentation never should be? Because this guy is doing something incredible. It's authentic. And even though the industry he's in and the genre of music he's in is very angsty and anti-establishment, anti-religion, anti-Jesus, he is making a broad mark in his genre of music because it's excellent.
That's right.
So, I mean, how does that pertain to us as believers when trying to relay the message of Christ?
Well, I think you nailed it, Steve. We need to shoot for excellence. We want to do what we're doing with authenticity. Yeah. We want to do it with excellence and all these other adjectives we could throw out there. But we want our witness, our life, the deeds of our hands, if you will, to reflect God's goodness, God's greatness. And a lot of times within the church, and this isn't meant to be a slap, but a lot of times within the church, we don't do things with excellence. We don't do things with the gravitas, that you know, the weight that we should be doing. So what happens is you kind of get this lackluster, not great presentations, not only of the gospel, but also of the art. Normally, this is how it happens. We look at what the world's doing, and then we just put Jesus. So instead of Gold's Gym, we do
Lord's Gym.
The Lord's Gym or God's Gym. Yeah. Instead of Got Milk, we go Got Jesus.
Right.
So what we do is we just look at what the world's doing and then we replicate it. I believe, and I think there's a great biblical principle for this, that we should be the trendsetters in the arts. We should be the trendsetters in the sciences. We should be the trendsetters in all of these areas. Why? Because we serve the master artist. We serve the master scientist. We serve, and you could go down the list, you know, all these attributes of who God is. So we are getting our inspiration from God's greatness, his goodness, his power, you know, his profound nature. But a lot of times we just go, well, this is let's just go and do this.
I still never got to pitch my t-shirt idea. I really want to do one that says Jesus Pieces, and it's going to be like in the font of Reese's Pieces, and then it's going to have communion wafers down below it. I think it would sell a million shirts.
I think it would too.
You know what? You know? Probably would.
It probably would. I could make a ton of money if I really wanted to sell out my soul
Here's the interesting dynamic with all of that stuff. Because that stuff actually works. I think a lot of those types of t-shirts and whatnot, they speak more to the church, I guess, to the Christian. I know that originally it was like, wear your t-shirt. I remember being a kid in the 90s when all this stuff was really ramping up and probably hit its peak as far as like...
Oh, I had a Lord's Gym shirt.
Yeah, me too.
He's paying your game.
I did too. Like,
I had it.
So Christian industry...
Not.
Good, okay.
Good man.
You're old school good. I was an idiot. Anyway, so... Pinnacle of Christian industry, I think everybody would agree, was about the mid-90s. That's when things were just huge, you know?
Yeah.
Like DC Talks making billions of dollars.
Yeah.
You know, it's massive. And I think when those things started, it was like, if you wear your t-shirt. I remember somebody at church telling me, if you wear a Christian t-shirt, then it's a conversation starter.
Yeah.
And people will be like, hey, man, what's that about?
Yeah.
You know, so it was kind of like... This way to get the conversation started. But I think now down the road, here we are 20 something years down the road.
Yeah.
And I think it speaks more to the church. Here's the problem with it for me. And I think I have like a personal thing with it, because I would go play these festivals, these Christian festivals. And I know for a fact that one of the main people that runs that booth, because there's that booth at most of the festivals,
especially
out here out west. Because so you had Bow Spirit West Coast, you had, I don't think there was ever one here at Freedom Fest, but all the Rage Fest in Arizona, like all the festivals out here, there was one booth. And I know for a fact that the guy that ran that booth, or one of the main people,
was totally not a Christian.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he straight up was like, no, dude, I sell these because I make a ton of money.
Yeah. Right. It's a business endeavor.
Yeah, and that's totally what it is. And so that, to me, it kind of shows the hand, the heart of it, because it's at the bottom of it, it's just some guy making money.
Right.
And so it, to me, the encouragement would be to the church is like, hey, guys, we can do a lot better than ripping Jesus off, you know, or than ripping the world off in the name of Jesus. We can do a lot better than that.
Yeah. And really, to be trendsetters, here's my point. I don't mind someone wearing a shirt to represent their faith, their belief. That's cool. But do so in a way that is really intriguing, that's engaging, that has an artistic sensibility to it. Just to rip off, you know, something popular, something trendy, to me, it lacks thought, it lacks forethought, it lacks really just a sense of you know, that we are a creative people.
Yeah, but then how are they going to feel persecuted when coworkers make fun of them for their crappy t-shirt? By the way, that's not real persecution. That's just a crappy t-shirt. I think a lot of times, I mean, I'm kind of being facetious, but it's the truth. I think you're right. A lot of times when it started, the heart was that conversation starter. It was, how can I engage the culture for Christ? And so the heart behind it initially probably was solid.
I think
and
so.
I'm not saying that some of these t-shirts that are created now, the heart behind it is just money, but knowing the industry and knowing what's popular, quote unquote, you know, a lot of these things really truly are, because the ones that were authentic, I think of One Truth. Do you remember One Truth? They were incredible. They had a lot of great things. They had the hand. They did a lot of mission work. Guess what? They went under because they were trying to do something creative and different, and that wasn't as popular as the Jesus Pieces shirts.
Yeah,
sure.
And so they went under.
Another company that did it, and they're gone now, was Ephraim Clothing.
Right. Yep.
Totally backed up. And you had a husband and wife, and they were artists, and it wasn't just t-shirts. And the funny thing was, being in a band in the Christian industry, you have a lot of t-shirt companies, upstarts, that are like, hey, let us give you free stuff. I would always go and buy stuff from like Ephraim.
Yeah, and let me just comment on that, because this really does have to do with the Bible and Theology Thursday.
It does.
Is that the arts are truly, genuinely underappreciated within the church.
Amen.
By and large, the church, and I speak as a whole, not just a particular church or an individual church, does not know what to do with the arts and or artists. And what you get is you get a full, huge pendulum swing. So what you'll get in, let's say, high churches, maybe of Anglican and Episcopal or Lutheran nature, they excel in what we call the high arts. So you hear classical music, and they'll have fine painting. Mm-hmm. And then you swing way to the other side of that pendulum, and you'll have this very low churches where they've got what we call Jesus junk, and it's just all very trendy. And then somewhere in between, the pendulum, where you would hope there would be a balance, you find a lot of churches don't know what to do with artists. So artists are usually always kind of held at an arm's length, don't know what to do with them. Yeah. Oh, they're the creative type. We don't know what to do with them. Or we'll say, hey, maybe you could do a banner for a service. But the reality is, they are a vitally important part of the body of Christ, and churches need to ensure that they're reaching out and ministering to the artists. One of the things we have here at Calvary Albuquerque, or in the past, we had what was called the Artist Fellowship, and then it moved into what we call the Collective. And that is, two times a year, we highlight the local artists within our fellowship. Let their art be their art. We don't go and say, hey, could you paint this or paint that? We go and look and say, hey, what do you have? And then we look at it and we go, let's go put it up. And we've been doing these shows showcasing their work down at the Lobo Theater. And it really is an amazing opportunity to reach artists. And it's not just visual artists. Mm-hmm. It's musicians like David Eugene Edwards in Woven Hand, and there's poets and everything. And if there were a few people I would, you know, like, well, where do we find out more about, you know, Christianity arts? Well, there's a group called SIVA, and that's Christians in the Visual Arts. But probably the poster boy of Christians engaged in the arts is a living artist by the name of it's a Japanese name, Mikado Fujimura.
Ooh, wow.
And he has lots of books, and he has started a lot of, actually he started an institution called I Am, Institute of something, arts and...
Arts and media.
Something
arts
of that
ministry.
Nature.
The Institute of...
Right. And what he's trying to do is encourage Christians to be engaged in the arts, much like David Eugene Edwards is engaged in his artistic form.
Yeah.
He's encouraging all Christians, whether you're a poet, whether you're a musician, whether you're a novelist, all these. So we just want to encourage those who are listening that are poets, that are musicians, that are artists, to do what you do for God's glory.
And let me just say this, because I know in the Assemblies of God, they have this thing called fine arts, and it's like, hey, let's, and they go really far to the arts. I mean, it's like, man, the arts are very, very vitally important. And then to others who aren't necessarily artists, they go, well, there's nothing for me here, so I'm just going to kind of bow out. And I always look at that and go, no, man, you're missing the point, because mm-hmm. maybe you're the construction worker listening right now who's going, well, man, I don't have any like creative thought in my body. I'm not a very creative person. But to that, I would say that's incorrect, because as the person is constructing something, whether it's architecture or maybe you're just building a raised garden bed,
right.
Man, that is creativity.
Maybe, exactly.
Maybe you're a cook. Maybe you're a chef. Maybe the culinary arts is where you don't discount these things.
Yeah.
You need to be great in whatever it is that God
right.
has gifted you in, not just painting or photography or music, because when you are building something, you are creating
yeah.
something.
That's right. And you know, it goes back to, you know, we are made in the image of God.
Amen.
Imago Dei.
Yes.
The Latin term for that, made in the image of God. And it goes off this idea that in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, God created.
Mm-hmm.
And part of human beings as being image bearers is that we are creative
yeah.
beings. We too hold within ourselves the propensity to create, to be creative individuals. So when we create, when we work out the creative processes,
yeah.
we are working within that unique gifting that the Lord has given to humanity. And, you know, Francis Schaeffer in his classic work, Art in the Bible, points that out. And what Francis Schaeffer does in his book, Art in the Bible, is he really discusses how the Bible used art. And,
mm-hmm.
and what he'll point out is that at times, art was there just for the beauty of the object.
Yeah.
When he goes into the temple and he starts to describe all the various facets, and some of those facets in the temple had what we call practical means.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, there's something over there that has no practicality. It was just there for the sheer beauty of it.
Yeah.
So when Christians are making things that are beautiful or thought-provoking, it really causes us to, in my mind, worship and adore the creator through the creative process. I know I paint. I paint on my day off. That's part of what I do. I write and I paint. So I you know, I'm working right now in a medium, and I've painted my whole life and I've done art my whole life. But I'm working in a medium right now that some people would look at and go, you call that art?
Right.
But if they sit and they think about it, they look at it, and they begin to ponder what it is I'm saying or doing with that particular art, then it's thought-provoking.
Right.
It may not be beautiful, but it's thought-provoking in what it's communicating.
Yeah.
So I think Christians should be engaged in the arts.
And to get into the theology of this, Theology Thursday, Psalm 19, I mean, creation itself is declaring the glory of God night after night. These stars pour forth speech to us through creation so that we can see what a phenomenal God we serve, that there is this God who is creative, who created all this, so you can literally just stare at the stars and appreciate the artwork that is his creation. So I think it's very important.
I think here's part of the reason I think art is, because me growing up Southern Baptist,
right.
I've been in a few different church services, not just here in Albuquerque, but I remember there was a church that we visited in Nashville, and in two rows in front of me, there was a dude or a woman, I can't remember, but they were sketching in a sketch pad. And I remember, and this is real life, it was some church in Nashville, I can't remember what it was called, but it was dudes drawing the whole service. And immediately, I used to draw in the service when I was a kid.
Right,
I used to draw
right.
pictures of Spider-Man all the
right.
time. And so I went back and immediately associated that negatively.
Yeah.
And was like, he shouldn't be doing that in church.
Right.
But I think the problem with art inherently is that it is so subjective. It's so subjective because, like, to you, Beenix, you know exactly what you mean when you're making that thing, and it's thought-provoking, yeah. and it requires somebody to come up and look at it and then try to process it.
Yeah.
But in our culture, we don't want that at all. And in right. most cultures, we right. don't want that. And I think people can't get a bead, especially the church, they can't get a bead on art.
Right.
They're like, I guess that's okay. I think it's not in the bulletin.
Yeah.
So right. there's not a Bible verse on it that I yeah. can see. Is it, there's not one? Okay. So is that art?
Yeah. Right. But when you look at the totality of the Bible, there are artists.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, one of the first places in Genesis, Jubal, is an individual who was a musician who the Lord filled with his Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And then later on, you find that God filled with his Holy Spirit craftsmen mm-hmm. to make beautiful things. And so the Lord has always endowed, he's always gifted individuals with their artistic gifts. Yeah. Sadly, and I'm repeating myself now, but for the sake of those who are just tuning in,
yeah.
the church has kept artists at a arm's length.
Yeah.
You know, for those of you who are going, man, okay, I'm an artist. I really want to be encouraged. I want some more. I mentioned Francis Schaeffer's Art in the Bible. It's mm-hmm. a very short read. It's good. It was one of the first modern books that really delve into the topic mm-hmm. of art. And, you know, really encouraging artists. But Steve Turner,
yes,
you know, who you guys used internally, he wrote a book, I think it was called Imagine, and it is about the Christian and the artist's role within the Christian church. And that is such an approachable book. I would encourage people to pick up Steve Turner.
Pop Cultured
is another great one.
That one goes through all of the different forms of pop culture, whether it's the television medium, all the different mediums that there are, and just, oh, man.
Yeah.
That was another one I love by Steve Turner.
And for the brainiacs out there.
Yes. I just checked out. Go ahead.
Yeah, for the guys who go, well, I don't want just something popular. I want something meaty and, you know, substantive.
Right.
Daniel Siddell, who is a curator, he's a lead, you know, he is an art curator and art historian himself. He also happens to be a believer. He has a book called God in the Gallery. Now, it's a more intellectual discussion. He gets into a lot of, you know, meaty subjects.
Can you color in it?
No coloring in it. But his God in
so
the Gallery
for me.
is a more recent.
There
and
you
then
go.
And then, you know, there's a whole host of Christian thinkers who have given a lot of brain power to the role of Christians in the artists.
Yeah.
But I would encourage those people out there, again, bringing it full circle,
yeah.
like a David Eugene Edwards,
yeah.
who is using his artistic gift, and maybe is not making a huge impact within the church,
yeah.
but is making a huge impact within the secular realm, but they're standing firm
yeah.
on their, you know, Christian worldview.
Absolutely.
And so we need to applaud that and support that. And I give you guys bravo for playing, you know, like a David Eugene Edwards, like a Woven Hand.
Yeah, we're excited. Speaking of that, coming up at 3:45 today and every day on Celeste's show, she does something called Double Shot.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I mention that is you can vote, you can chime in for who you want to hear. Right now, currently, a local artist, Stimson, is just
yeah.
running away with it. And so we've had a chance to hear various songs from local artists this week. Man, Chad Barella, Archibald, we heard some Poema in there. And right now, Stimson's just running away with it. But we encourage you as an artist, if you have music, if you would love to get it played on Static Radio, mystaticradio.com, under the Locals Rule section, you can submit MP3s because we love seeing what God is doing through your art form. All right, let's go out to the phone lines. We've got a phone call, 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700 if you'd like to hang out with us for Theology Thursday. Hello, welcome to Static.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, I hope you don't mind if I change the subject a little bit.
No, no, no. I think awesome we were kind stuff. Of done with that.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, it was great. It was great. So I'm filling out this like missionary application, and they all have, what are your spiritual gifts?
Mm.
And every time I fill out that, I feel horrible.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't know. Let me go take a survey.
Right?
And then the survey, they gave me a survey, actually, and it had, like, stuff like leadership on there and all this stuff. That I'm like, where is that in the Bible?
Right.
And when am I supposed to know? How do I know these spiritual gifts? Are these spiritual gifts still applicable today? You know, if you guys could just...
These are all great questions.
Great questions.
Honestly, thank you for calling in.
Great questions.
So I'll listen to your response online.
Yeah.
So, thanks for calling.
And by the way, we were finished with Christians in the Arts. And so
this goes right into it.
This does.
This is great.
That's what I was going to say. There is a little bit of application, blending of the two. But let me give the big picture. To be fair to different viewpoints, and then I'll hone in on what I particularly believe. Okay, when we're talking about spiritual gifts, there really are two major schools of thought with kind of a hybrid in between. And one school of thought is that, yes, the spiritual gifts still are in use today. And we call that the perpetuous spiritual gifts, that they've been they're perpetually within the church. And so the people who believe in the perpetuous spiritual gifts believe that the gifts discussed in the New Testament are alive and well and should be utilized within the church today. That's one group. On the other hand, is the group what we call cessationists. Mm. And cessationists believe that the gifts stopped with the formation or formulation of the New Testament. So they would argue, and this is a very general argument, that once the New Testament was completed, there is no more need for the spiritual gifts. Why? Because you have the Bible. Those are the two major groups. Now, there is a hybrid group in there that sort of teaches that, yes, the gifts are available, but they're only available in certain circumstances and situations. But for the most part, you want to lean on the Bible. And I don't want to say it's a wishy-washy, but what they're trying to do is they're trying to accommodate those who believe in the spiritual gifts and those who don't, and kind of just keep things at an arm's distance. So that is the big picture. Now, you ask, where is it in the Bible? The clearest teaching, or not the clearest, but one of the clearest teachings on this is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul. He wrote it to the Corinthian church. And in chapter 12, Paul distinctly discusses the spiritual gifts used in the church. So as you're filling out that missionary application that you brought up, and you go, man, where is this in the Bible? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'll read a portion of this just to give our listening audience an idea of what Paul describes as the spiritual gifts. He says, beginning in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So here in verse 7, Paul is transitioning to talk about the manifestations, or what we'd call the spiritual gifts. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. So that would be a spiritual gift according to Paul. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Again, that there is a spiritual gift. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So this is one, and there, by the way, there are other lists in the Bible that do discuss spiritual gifts. This is one of the clearest where Paul articulates what some of these spiritual gifts are. We don't have time to do an exposition on each of these gifts, but what I want to point out that where I stand personally is I do believe in the perpetuous spiritual gifts. I believe the gifts are alive and well.
Yeah.
Now, I believe that the gifts need to be used scripturally and biblically. I will be the first to point out that largely in some sectors of the Christian church, these gifts are abused. Yeah. And what happens is when the abuse of these gifts happen, chaos, confusion happens, and God is not an order of chaos and confusion. So generally speaking, there are two major, you know, strands. You have those who believe in the perpetuous spiritual gifts, those who are cessationists. The clear example of where the spiritual gifts are found are 1 Corinthians 12, and I personally believe in the perpetuous spiritual gifts.
Now, to those that are like, I feel like as you talked about the church and how they can be abused, another form that I see of abuse with spiritual gifting, and correct me if I'm wrong, because if I'm wrong, then I will eat my words. I've also heard, well, I'm not gifted in this area, therefore I'm not going to A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it feels like spiritual gifting could be a license to get out of doing a task.
Sure.
We as Christians talk about our calling, and as far as the spiritual gifts go, obviously where we're gifted, that could be an area where we could grow and where we could do something. But if we don't have that spiritual gifting, if you will, does that negate our responsibility?
Yeah. No, great questions. And let me piggyback on that, and it goes back to our caller's question. How do we know our spiritual gifts?
Right.
And here's the thing. Here's my recommendation. Mm-hmm. My recommendation is that A, you turn to the Bible and get a clear understanding what those spiritual gifts are.
Amen.
Don't get just some kind of, well, this is what I think it is. Right. Really get a clear understanding. That requires some Bible study, maybe picking up commentaries, maybe going to a pastor friend and getting a clear understanding what those are so you know what they're about. But then two, you need to, Lord, what is it? You need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what is it you have endowed? What have you gifted me with? And by the way, these are supernatural giftings. These are spirit manifestations. This isn't just, you know, well, I've been gifted to be strong, therefore I can lift weights, and therefore I must be a servant. These, you know, when you're talking about prophecy and healings and word of knowledge, these are supernatural giftings, discernment and all of this type of thing. But then thirdly, I would go and really get together with men and women who you know, that know you, who are godly individuals and could say, you know what? I have watched you for some time, and I see this in you. You know, Steve-O, you have a way to just proclaim scriptural truths in any situation. You know, you may have what we would call like the gift of prophecy, the gift of you're proclaiming God's word.
Is it any wonder that when I've taken those tests, it's always teaching and exhortation, one and two?
Right. So it's one of those type of things.
Right.
So get people around you. So first of all, get a clear understanding of what the scripture teaches on it.
Right.
Two, talk to the Lord about it.
Yep.
And then three, go to individuals who know you. And then when you could get a sense of like, man, maybe this is what the Lord has, the spiritual gift he's given me, then I say, four, exercise it. Use it for what Paul says here, for the good of all, for the edification, for the building up of the body of Christ. Why? Because Paul's larger argument here in this section of Corinthians is that we are one body, that though we may have different gifts, though we may have different places and purposes within that body, we're to use our gifts, we're to use those things the Lord has entrusted to us to build up the body of Christ. So I don't think, you know, this Lone Ranger type person who goes, well, I just use my gifts, you know, over here. Yeah. Well, really, Paul's saying you're to use your gifts to build up the body of Christ. So, you know, to our caller, I would say, once you have ascertained what those gifts are, and again, Steve-O, Matt, or myself can't tell you what your gifts are.
Uh-uh.
Only the Lord can show you through his scripture with godly men and women around you kind of saying, this is where I think you're at. And at times, you know, he mentioned those surveys. At times, those can be helpful.
Yeah.
And I don't discourage those. I would say, you know, those could be the initial step in helping you understand. But really what I really believe is you need to get into scripture, get a clear understanding of what those are, talk to the Lord about it, and then get people that know you, preferably a pastor on staff, that could say, this is what I see in you. You know, you may have, you know, a gift of helps, which in another section of scripture, they reference some of these other areas.
Right.
Where, man, when I do a call to come early and set up chairs, you're the first one here.
Yeah.
You know, that is what I see in you. But a lot of times this is a process. This is something that people need to continually seek the Lord, seek God through His Word, mm-hmm. talk to other people, and then use those gifts. So, you know, to this gentleman who's filling out this missionary application, you know, and you really don't have a firm grasp on it, again, sounding like a broken record, I would go not only to 1 Corinthians 12, but I would cross-check that with Ephesians, with some, you know, other elements in the Scripture where you could go, this is where I think my gifting is.
Yeah.
But then go and talk to someone to say, this is where I was. Now, we have to distinguish this between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, because a lot of people confuse those. And what they'll go is, well, I'm patient. That's my gifting.
Right.
And you go, that is cool. And that could be a fruit of your gifting, but these are very specific to certain gifts of the Spirit, giftings that the Holy Spirit has imparted to a person. The fruit of the Spirit is that which comes from and you know, the fruit upon which that comes out. Interestingly enough, in both situations, here of the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, the pinnacle of both of these is what?
Love.
Love. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You notice what, when Paul in Galatians is describing, notice, singular, the gift of the Spirit. He says the gift of the Spirit is love.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to describe the rest of that. So love is the pinnacle gift upon which everything else comes from. And what Paul's argument here in 1 Corinthians 12, because what does he invariably get to? 1 Corinthians 13.
Right.
So he's describing all of these gifts and how they can be used and the proper use of these gifts. But then he gets on to the greatest gift. And of course, it's probably one of the most famous chapters in the world, where he talks about the greatest gift of love. And so both of them are rooted in love.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's a big exhort. That's what he gives us. Even as you said, Ephesians, I immediately was drawn to Ephesians chapter 5, where that is what we are called to do. As therefore, as beloved children, we are imitators of God. We are imitators of our Father as beloved children, and we walk in love. That's it. Love. Everything hangs on that.
That's that's exactly right. And you know, to our caller, and then I won't beat this anymore, but you could turn to Ephesians 4 is another area where some spiritual gifts are listed. Also Romans 12, 6 through 8, there's discussion of that. And there's some allusions to it also in 1 Peter 4:10. So as you're developing an idea, an understanding of where you're at, and you've seeking the Scripture, you're praying to the Lord, but again, do not underestimate the body of Christ, bringing people around you to help you kind of pinpoint where your gifts are.
Here's a question for you guys. What happens when you fill out all these surveys and your spiritual gift is other? What do you do? Is that in the Bible, Doug?
Phone lines jammed up on spiritual gifting, so let's
do it.
Let's go out to the phone lines. Hello, welcome to Theology Thursday.
Hi, name's Grace Montano, and I was listening. I just tuned in when you guys were talking about, you know, finding your spiritual gifts and how it may be, you know, this and it may be that, but, you know, sometimes it may not be this and it may not be that. But something that I've had to really dig deep in my studies, because I used to get so discouraged about spiritual gifts, because, my little sister, she can speak in tongues, and I always used to, you know, be so disappointed that I couldn't speak in tongues. But then I realized one day, like, hey, I can translate it. But then another day I was able to have prophetic visions, and then I wasn't able to translate, and I was very confused about that. So I talked to my pastor, and I talked to another friend of mine who's very gifted in the knowledge of spiritual gifts. And they were saying that as Christians, when we accept Christ into our hearts, you know, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and Christ wasn't limited to just one gift. He wasn't, you know, just able to heal or just able to have words of knowledge and discernment. He had all of them. And as Christians, we live in his presence. We have the indwelling Spirit of Christ in us. So And I am not saying any of this to argue with you, but just to
Grace, we actually would agree with you.
Yeah, I totally agree.
That there are individuals that, based upon God's grace and God's providence, what God wants to do, He will endow people, an individual, with differing gifts.
Yeah.
I know individuals who speak in tongues, and I know individuals who are teachers, and they kind of carry this prophetic nature of speaking the oracles of God.
Yeah.
I know individuals who have, you know, 2, 3, 4 gifts. And you're right. At times in our Christian walk, I do believe that the Lord will give people differing gifts.
Right.
Now, so when we say that, seek out your gift, that doesn't mean, you know, you're born with this gift and you die with this gift, and that
that's it.
That's not the case at all. That's why I'm saying you always have to turn to Scripture.
Amen.
You always have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what is it you have for me at this time? But interestingly enough, let me just say something here, because those cessationists out there are listening to this conversation and they're going, oh my goodness, we disagree with everything you're saying here because we don't believe the gifts are viable and available today. Let me just say, without getting to too much detail, that we believe that we have a three types of relationships with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And they come down to three prepositions used in the Bible. And those prepositions is the Holy Spirit is with us, He's in us,
mm-hmm.
and He's upon us.
Yeah.
So, you know, with, in, and upon. And when He's with us, it's kind of this idea that He's with us, He's guiding us. As Jesus said, the Spirit will guide you unto all truth. So the Holy Spirit is with us. And what Grace was talking about, that He's living in us. And this is the idea where the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our life. He's conforming us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. But then what Grace is talking about is that third tier of what we call upon us. And this is the idea that at certain times,
right,
for certain circumstances, for certain situations, that the Holy Spirit comes upon you and gifts you for a particular circumstance or situation to deal with that situation. Now, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit's not living in you.
Right.
It's not. It's not that He's not with you. He is. The Holy Spirit's with you. He's in you. But in certain circumstances, He comes upon you to give you the gifting needed to get you through that circumstance or to impart His truth.
We were just talking about this,
totally,
and going through a school ministry, if you will, and mm-hmm. The way it was equated was, you've got a pitcher of water that represents the Holy Spirit that's full with water. You've got a cup, and they're next to each other, and so that's where the Holy Spirit is with you. Then you pour some water into the cup, and that's where the Holy Spirit is in you. And then you actually submerge the cup into the pitcher. That is basically, as they say, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit is upon you.
Yeah.
And that threefold, if you will.
Great analogy. I've never heard that analogy.
Yeah, never either. It's
that's
like
a great
okay,
analogy.
I like that.
That's a good analogy, because essentially what it's saying is there are times in our Christian walk, and we find this in the Bible, there are times when we will not have the words. We don't know, oh my goodness, I'm in a situation, someone's asked me something, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes upon you and He gives you those words. He tells you how to share with a hurting friend,
mm-hmm.
or maybe a relative who's dying, or a situation, and all of a sudden you go, where did that come from?
Right.
And that I believe is the Holy Spirit working, you know, coming upon you to impart God's truth.
Amen.
Totally agree.
Grace, we wholly agree with you. In fact, I think when we started, we had mentioned that some people use the spiritual gifts as a way to skirt responsibility because they say, oh, I'm not gifted in that, and so therefore I don't have to do that. So,
that's what prompted me to call in.
No, absolutely. Thank you so much for
calling. Great question.
That prompted some great discussion.
And just to be fair, we agree with Grace.
Yeah.
You know, but there are a whole host of people out there who are cessationists, and they would not agree with our position.
With any of us.
Right. They would not agree with our position. They would say the sufficiency of Scripture is all you need at this point.
Yeah. So.
Well, I've always just looked at it, and it could just be me being a Baptist growing up or whatever. I always fall back on that because you can't get away from it.
Right.
No matter what you try.
Yeah.
Sam Swan, thanks.
Yep.
But anyway, you're receiving a Holy Spirit. You're receiving, you know, like part of the triune God to mm-hmm. be with you, a comforter at mm-hmm. all times. And so I guess I've always just looked at it as like he activates what he needs you to do at any time. So whenever people get hung up on being able to do specific gifts, I've always just wondered, well, don't you think that if you were in a situation and God needed you to speak in tongues, that he would give you the ability to speak in tongues?
And let me address that, because there, not everyone has that gift.
Right.
Not everyone. Yeah. Paul is very specific that he says in 1 Corinthians 13, not all speak in tongues.
Right, right.
He goes on to say, I wish all that would.
I
wish everyone would. So people need to not be hung up on like, man, I don't have that gift, and I don't have that gift, and I'm just a loser. No, the gifts that God has imparted you by his Holy Spirit are the gifts that God wants to give you. So the idea is that, you know, don't be like, oh, I wish I had that gift. There are some things that you may never get, and but that, God very, may yeah. give yeah. you.
It says he gifted some to be teachers, some to be prophets, so not all. So
totally.
Again,
that's
it's
exactly
not
right.
for everybody.
That's exactly right.
So, man, great questions.
Great questions.
Thanks to everybody who's chiming in. We got one more. Let's go to line two. Hello, welcome to Theology Thursday.
Yeah, good morning, dudes. How you guys doing?
Fantastic. How are you?
Oh, good, good. I love the topic, dude. I actually have a real quick question. I don't know. I guess it's too far, but I'll drop off the line as soon as I ask, so that way you guys can answer it.
Okay.
So my question is when you receive a gift from God, or like, you know, like a while back I had a pastor, I was at a conference, a pastor came up to me and told me, you know, God, I believe God's telling me to pass this anointing on to you and pray this anointing on you. And then I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, to me, I thought that's awesome. And then you know, you get your spiritual gifts that, you know, God just gives you. And so you have that. But when you backslide, I guess like with me, I backslid years back, and I just stopped going to church, dude, and just started being stupid. And anyway, so when it feels like, you know, you just never get to that point of intimacy that you were once before, like, you know, with that pastor praying his anointing or unanointing on you, can you ever get it back once you lose it, or if you lose it at all? I guess that's kind of my question.
Great questions today. This is awesome stuff. Let me you really kind of have two parts into that, and I'm going to address both of them.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, great question. The first is, you know, when someone walks up to you and says, the Lord told me to tell you this. Yeah. That's cool, but what I always say is this.
Yeah.
You as an individual need to go to the Word and go to God yourself to confirm if that is from the Lord.
What if they pull out a sword and and you bend down and they're like, wow,
I've heard a lot of people come up to
it's
me and
me
say,
a few times.
Yeah, and they say to me, Brian, the Lord told me this. And it's not at all what the Lord's telling me.
Right.
I think, you know, what I want to go back to that person and go, I think the burrito you ate.
Yeah.
Does this
that mean
afternoon.
You're not going to give me the $50 that the Lord told you to give me?
You're not kidding. That is some of the stuff.
Are you serious?
People will come up to me.
You said you weren't going to embarrass me over the air.
Yeah. I've had people come up to me in all seriousness, in all earnestness, and go, you know, I really feel the Lord is telling you that you need to give money to this ministry. And then, you know, I look into the ministry and I study and go, I don't think the Lord wants me to give it. So, you know, we always have to test the spirits.
Have to email me.
Yeah, we have to test the spirits. So I'm not saying that it can't happen,
right.
But we need to test.
Right.
But then it goes on to the second part of his question, and that is what I would summarize or define as grieving the spirit. When you begin to walk away or backslide, as you said. So can someone grieve the Holy Spirit? Yeah, you can. The Bible's clear about that. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has come in you. Mm-hmm. He's residing you. He's taking up residence. He's dwelling, as the Bible has to say. And then he is conforming you into the image and nature of Christ. Well, what happens is your sin nature, your man nature, begins to war against the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is grieving because you are moving in a particular way that is contrary to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. So you're doing that. And then the other part of your question is, can you come back? Of course. Okay. You know, that's the whole point of ideas such as the prodigal son. Mm. You know, Jesus is clear about that, that when you repent and you turn from what you called, you know, the stupidity, you know, I was doing stupid things. When you repent of that and you turn from that and you go, Lord, I want to be, again, aligned with your will. I want to be spirit-led, and I want to move according to your will. Then the Holy Spirit is no longer grieved. The Holy Spirit is rejoicing and saying, I want to have that full effect in and through your life. And what we go, or what we call, you go back to the sanctification process. You are being sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit in you, and he will continually conform you and lead you into the person of nature of Christ. Amen. So, you know, for our listeners, there's really three major processes to the Christian life. And I think it's important to say this because it ties into this last guy. Yeah. The first is justification. That's what we would call salvation. Someone turns to the Lord and we are justified. The God comes in, he dwells in us, and he saves us.
Yeah.
The second is sanctification. And that is the process upon which we are being conformed into the image of Christ. And Paul even says we're predestined as believers to be conformed into the image of Christ. And then the final is what? Glorification, where we leave this tent, this body, and we are with the Lord. So, and again, there's different theological terms in between all of this,
right.
But that is a three-termed way. So what this gentleman's describing is he grieved the Holy Spirit in the sanctification process. He began to become un-Christ-like,
yeah.
But then when he repented and turned from that and turned his life back over to Christ, saying, no, Lord, you're really in charge, the Holy Spirit will continue in that sanctification process.
Yeah.
So that's it in a nutshell.
Boom, there you go. Thanks to everybody who chimed in for Theology Thursday today. It has been an absolutely fantastic show.
Yeah, we got an email question from a text or something, so we'll have to get to that.
And
next week.
Question from our boy Paul in Houston. He says, in an even more important question than our gifts for today, Arminianism versus Calvinism, pre-trib versus post-trib, old earth versus new earth, I need to know from Brian Nixon, Real Madrid or Barcelona?
Real Madrid all the way. And if he wants to call in and argue this case, Cristiano Ronaldo right now
is
unstoppable.
This is what he said. As a follow-up question, Ronaldo or Messi?
Ronaldo. let me just
there
say this.
It, people.
Cristiano Ronaldo, he has scored more goals as an individual this year than whole teams have scored.
That's right. Today, tell him, by the way, today, happy birthday, Pele.
Yeah, happy birthday, Pele.
Birthday.
That's right. But Cristiano Ronaldo, all the way, the Portuguese man is on top of his
Dang,
game.
Gosh, that's
dude.
Passion.
You
over
know
there.
All stuff.
I love
man.
It.
You know it. Theology Thursday, if you missed any part of the podcast.
Great, man.
Or hey, the show. Podcast it.
That was cool.
That was fantastic.
Today's discussion was really good.
Yeah, thanks to everybody who chimed in
Art
making this
gifting
show great.
And all kinds mm-hmm. of cool stuff.
Yeah, dude. Shout out to everybody who chimed in, whether on Facebook or text or calling in. And, of course, we'll see you guys again next week. It's the day before Halloween. We're going to have to get some important things like, ooh, the Halloween.
Oh, we've got
special.
A good.
That's right.
Then the text we
yeah.
got will be great.
There
yes.
you go. All right. Download the podcast, mystaticradio.com/TheologyThursday. We'll see you guys again mañana.
Goodbye.